Colorado is safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Calling your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where in the great state of Texas, illegal aliens are convicted of homicide 32% more frequently than the rest of the population. Day 1176. Keep it the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her, and Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark History, the top of the third hour, and our buddy Movie Man Mike, top of the final hour of the program. Your remarks from the Florida Man Radio app in between. Oh, earthquake. In the tri-state area, here's Mayor Adams, New York City.
All of us felt in some way or another the earthquake that hit our city around 10:23 a.m. We felt the impact of this 4.7 magnitude earthquake. The epicenter was in Lebanon, New Jersey, about 50 miles from New York City. And as you know, this is a developing situation where you're always concerned about aftershocks after an earthquake. But New Yorkers should go about their normal day.
Go about your normal day. You don't often think of the East Coast as a place for earthquakes, but they happen on occasion. I don't think they ever happen quite as big as they do on the West Coast. But you had that big Taiwan, Monday? Taiwan shake 7 point something. Mm-hmm. A lot of people passed in that. A lot of people were killed in that. You don't really think of it in the East Coast. I don't. Are they having aftershocks there as well?
I'm sure. I'm sure they'll happen. I haven't seen anything yet.
Well, good luck to you, folks. Have you ever been in an earthquake?
Nope.
They're terrifying, but they're cool as hell. I mean, as long as it's not like 8 something or a 7 point, you know. When I lived in Long Beach, I was sitting on my couch. I had been there about 6 months, and the whole house just started. And then one thing about California and earthquakes, after an earthquake, everyone gets a drink and goes outside in the street and talks to their neighbors.
Oh, of course. You have to go out now. Yeah. Did you feel the earthquake?
Yeah. What did you feel it over there? Yeah, we felt it over here. Did you feel it over there? Yeah, we felt it over there. And then we got an aftershock, and I was looking down the street, and it was almost like a rippling, you know, ripple, a wave of just a weird thing. The Department of Justice is demanding prison for, and this story is morphed too. Now she's referred to as the Ashley Biden diary thief. Amy Harris is her name. She has an accomplice, but she's been repeatedly trying to, she accepted $40,000 from, what's the name of that outfit?
It was from James O'Keefe, Veritas.
Yeah, Veritas. They didn't publish it, but some of it did slip out and make the rounds. The way the story started was that Ashley Biden left this and some other belongings behind in a drug rehabilitation or some type of
halfway house.
Addiction, some type of thing. And this Amy fell into her hands. I don't know that she shopped around too much, but she did get $40,000 from Veritas. And there's that audio going around where they attempted to call her. Someone, I think Veritas attempted to call her, She reached out back to them and said, I'd like it back. And I'd like you to drop it off with a friend of mine in Delray Beach. That, you know, he'll meet you somewhere. And they go, well, we want to make sure it's yours. And she says, well, yeah, look, I don't want to get the Secret Service involved in this because that becomes the whole thing. And so I guess, did she steal it if it's left behind somewhere?
I think that falls under finders keepers if you leave it someplace.
There's no doubt that it's hers. I mean, the fact that they're prosecuting her, this woman, and now it confirms that it's hers. And there's no doubt that some of the contents are pretty salacious about Joe showering with her. No one really can, you know, and maybe this is a diversion from what's actually in it. I don't know where it is now, who possesses it now. But you can bet your ass the folks over James O'Keefe made a photocopy of every page inside of that thing. They say a sentence involving no period of incarceration would be wholly insufficient to reflect the gravity of the defendant's conduct, including her apparent belief that she's above the law and she need not comply with the court's orders. Do you think if I left a drug rehab and left my diary behind and the next dude found it, you think your DOJ would be involved in this?
Not one bit.
Why is the Department of Justice involved in a very simple, I don't even know, it's a stretch to call it a theft case. But why would the Department of Justice and the FBI be involved in a girl's diary and a person who found it? She is literally... What do they call it? They got her with interstate. some interstate crime. Some guy helped to sell it. She tried to sell it knowing that it belonged to an immediate family of the then former government official who was a candidate for national political office. Well, that makes it worse, huh? Prosecutors warned that if she fails to appear again, they'll seek an enhancement for obstruction of justice. The dude, Kurlander, pled guilty. He's waiting his sentence now. And then Ed Krasenstein comes out and says, this is even worse than admitting that the diary is Ashley Biden's. Now they're up front making excuses how it's okay for dads to shower with their daughters. Ed Krasenstein tweeted, there are plenty of fathers who have been in the same shower as their young daughters. Virtually all pediatricians and child psychologists support it up to a certain age.
Yeah, up to a certain age.
Ashley had her driver's permit, you know, her learner's permit. She was a teenager.
Ashley talked about how she had to take her showers late at night because she was afraid he would come try to shower with her.
As soon as he heard that water running, man, he made a beeline for her bathroom.
That's not a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, or that's someone that can shower themselves that decides that, hey, yeah, I probably should take a shower late at night.
That's just sick. Sick. Have you ever heard anyone talk about how sick? I mean, publicly on television. I mean, you know, news. Anybody. I mean, they made such a huge deal out of one time when Trump was on Stern. And he was talking about how beautiful his daughter was. And he said, yeah, you know, if I was younger, I would date her. Meaning, you know, if he was a young man and not her, obviously her father, she'd be somebody he would consider dateable. You know, his standards are pretty high. And so big people just creeped out on it. You know, here's a guy that loves kids sitting on his lap, smells every kid he can get his hands on.
We'll stop a press conference mid through so he can go over and sniff a baby.
And people are now making excuses for him showering with his teenage daughter. Perfectly normal. Virtually all pediatricians and child psychologists support it up until a certain age. I mean, I bathed my daughter up till she's like 7, maybe helped her wash her hair to get ready for school in the tub. And that was creepy enough as it is. But that's, you know, I don't think my daughter's ever seen my junk.
Yeah. It's again, this isn't a toddler or anything like that. This isn't I mean, enough that she knows exactly that she thought it was wrong.
Yeah. What she called it, probably inappropriate showers with my father?
Yes.
Jesus. Sick, sick bastards. What is going on over here? It looks like Kamala's stepdaughter has taken a page from the Hunter Biden book. Did you see that?
What's with them not being able to do good art?
I mean,
it was subjective, but...
What's with them, these kids, all of a sudden becoming artists out of nowhere? And why isn't Hunter Biden churning out paintings right now? Is he in a dark period? There's another White House-connected A-list artist hitting the New York art scene. Ella Emhoff, Vice President Kamala's stepdaughter. She works in textiles. She opened an exhibition yesterday at a cannabis store in the Lower East Side where she peddled her knit portraits. For $5,000. You know what I'm talking about? It like the thing you're I don't even know what they call it. It's, you know, you've seen it on a wall where it says Home Sweet Home. With some lovely little flowers, and it's done with knitting or whatever you what they call that. What's that? What
cross stitching? Or
yeah, she's doing that
like your grandma does.
Yes, it's literally knitting. She says this new art form kind of was birthed out of my knitwear, where I started kind of playing around with this duplicate stitch technique. She used to be in fashion. Now she's starting a new phase in her life as an artist. I don't know if you saw her in fashion and when she was in the fashion industry. And she, I think her specialty was wearing really big pants.
Yeah, she was in the big pants division.
Yep. Like the waist fit her, but the legs were...
like clown pants.
Yes, all the way down to the bottom. Just big old clown pants. She said, I found that no one really wanted to wear all this stuff because it's kind of crazy and it's loud, but they liked looking at it. So then I just started experimenting, and now here I am. Oh. Each piece was modeled after items, people, and pets. It just makes you smile. One's a face of a dude with some glasses and a red nose. It's for selling for $5,500. Just most of his face, not the... You know what? It looks like those things you used to see on TV advertised, like, you know, like there's a piece of flat material that's got the holes in it, and it's already color-coded for you to know the right...
Yeah, and you just punch in the one
that you punch in there, you know, whatever. Said I'm testing the waters because obviously I know it takes a lot of effort and time and you know, just like putting yourself out there. But, you know, it's been fun so far. One's a purse, one's a cookie, one's a puppy. She does two self-portraits as well. $5,500 is the going rate for these things.
Yeah, I'd love to know who actually went and bought them.
Did anyone?
I don't know. I mean, they're running at $5,500 for that. I'd love to see if anybody does.
And, of course, people are fawning all over it. Fiber art is having a massive resurgence right now with lots of museum and gallery shows. I pretty much follow everybody who's relevant in art these days. I happen to be in New York today. She says her art is effing amazing. Her stuff is gorgeous. I don't even know how she began to do this stuff. It's crazy.
Come on.
Wait. This is from a lady named Michelle, who's an art lover and a vegan chef. The different colors and the depths, it's so insane. I don't know where, you know. You could crap on a plate if you're, you know.
If you're the daughter or the son of the president or the vice president, yeah, you can do that.
She did have some knitted clothing for sale. A pair of drawstring pants.
Ah, see, big pants.
$350.
And I think she just leaned into the big pants thing.
I mean, I think she'd probably own that the big pants market. I've never seen anyone else, you know, rock the big pants. She did have a pair of knitted biker shorts for $750. I'm unclear what size they were.
Is it knitted biking shorts?
Knitted biking shorts.
Like that's the worst thing you would ever want to wear when you're out biking.
Maybe they're not like,
I don't know, I'm
you
know, thinking,
for actual use. It's more the art form of the, or just wear them around the house, you know?
Yeah, I'm just going to ride my, I'm riding my wool knitted biking shorts. I think I'm going to do a 2.5 mile run.
They feel great. Yeah. They're very wicking.
I mean, the breeze is great in them.
Speaking of Kamala, she gave us all a history lesson. So smug about it, too.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that. And what, that talk about progress, you know.
Talk about progress.
Better late than never, but progress. And what that has done, because of course when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets. And
she said it twice, too. Confidently said it twice.
Yeah. Why couldn't there be, I was in a soccer league in high school. We had brackets for the whole league. I mean.
Well, did the women, or did they just all willy-nilly get thrown?
Ah,
no.
God, that's ridiculous.
Oh, they just pulled the women's names out of hats and told them, you guys are playing today.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but, you know, women's softball has brackets. Every league for any sport has, it may be smaller than the, you know, than the March Madness brackets, but, you know, it might span a couple of weeks and not, you know, many, or, you know, but the bracket's just the way the league boils down to its finals.
Yeah,
they couldn't do that. We women couldn't do it. No, they didn't even have, they couldn't even, you know why? They didn't have finals. They didn't have a champion because they didn't know who to play. And it's just, but now that's progress.
Yeah, whichever two teams showed up at the court at the same time, they got to play, and then we let them move on. Whoever won moved on.
Yeah.
We told them to come back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Not we'll sure see if someone shows up tomorrow. And you know what? She's got her hands and she's moving. She thinks that this hand stuff is helping get her point across, but when you're saying stupid stuff, it only accentuates your stupidity. And listen to the smug.
Do you know?
Do you know? Yeah. Do you know?
Okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022?
This guy's, he knows that they're talking about the turn March Madness, right?
Yeah.
Final Four or whatever. Some guy owned the
It was trademarked March Madness was to be trademarked to use for men's college basketball when it was really set the trademark in there. 2022. I think the NCAA got a hold of it. They fixed it. It was now trademarked for March Madness for all collegiate basketball. So they could use that term. So that was when the 2022 is, yes, you could now have a women's bracket with the term March Madness in the middle of it if you wanted to put it over there somewhere. But you could have brackets.
You know what she sounds like? Like that guy that you know who thinks he or is trying to fake his way through a knowledge of something. I guarantee you she couldn't tell you. She couldn't identify a travel on the court.
Well, it's more I like that.
She'd know the rules of the
game.
She
said, well, I made a bracket, and I'm not going to talk about it. Anybody that made a good bracket that has all four teams in there would be talking about it. She'd be like, oh, yeah, I mean, I made a bracket.
She said it's not broken yet either.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is not that old.
It was yesterday, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Final Four right now for the women, so.
Right. Oh, she's not still. I mean, in the game.
Probably she probably got three of them right, as most people did. If you picked Iowa, UConn, and South Carolina, you're on a pretty good chance you got all three of those in there.
Well, thank God the Progress women can finally have brackets. You know that they just recently allowed referees in the game of women? They can now have referees. Before, they just kind of played. They didn't even keep score. So much they hated women. When we return, Charlamagne the God, believe it or not, is blasting DEI. We've got some audio for you. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Charlamagne the God, guest hosting The Daily Show, slamming DEI. He said it's mostly garbage. He said the truth about DEI is that although it's well-intentioned, it's mostly garbage, okay? It's kind of like the black Little Mermaid. Just because racists hate it doesn't mean it's good.
But here's the part where you all stop applauding everything I say. The truth about DEI is that although it's well-intentioned, it's mostly garbage, okay? It's kind of like the black Little Mermaid. Just because racists hate it doesn't mean it's good. And you know I'm right, because every one of you has sat through one of those diversity training sessions and thought, this is some bull. And it's not just you. Over 900 studies have shown that DEI programs don't make the workplace better for minorities.
Wow. That's got to be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of liberals and a lot of people of color.
It's the truth. Yep. I mean, he goes off on some other stuff with it.
He said, I'm not surprised these programs didn't work. It's corporate PR. He said, real DEI is only going to come from black leadership. What else did he say that I missed? Oh, this is a clip, but I don't know how clean it is.
Failure of DEI is that the number of black people in power at big companies is basically the same as it was 5 years ago. In fact, maybe the only thing that DEI has accomplished is giving racist white people cover to be openly racist.
Wow. But the way white people that believe it don't see it that way at all. It's the anti-racist to them. Get ready.
DEI breeds...
No. Yeah, I think there's an S bomb coming up here really soon. He's absolutely right. I see, UT in Austin has fired everybody in their DEI department. They've began dismantling it some time ago, but the new law there makes it, they have to. And I saw interviews last night with a couple of young female black girls that were on that worked somewhere in DEI, and they to hear them, it's just it could be the end of the school.
See, the problem is I've seen over and over again, and I'm sure a lot of those 900 studies that Charlamagne was talking about is point where it's improved anything. That's it. Other than being just a corporate gobbledygook going on there and everybody feels good when they go through the seminar and, yeah, we're definitely not going to be racist anymore. We're not going to do this. It doesn't hire more black people. It doesn't do any other jobs other than probably actually discourage other good employees from being there because you feel that you have to reach a certain quota before you can start hiring people that aren't.
Right. I've never been to a DEI, like, workplace workshop deal. You ever been to a seminar? I have no idea. I don't think I could sit through it.
I mean, we've seen some of them though. We've seen the Coca-Cola one. We saw the I believe it was Enterprise or Hertz or one of the two car company ones.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, you're right. Show me one place, one school where it's improved anything. It's only made things more difficult and more costly.
All it's done is enrich the people that work in those departments. That's all it's done.
Right.
It's gotten people, a bunch of grifters, big jobs that they would have never gotten, $200,000 jobs, to go in there and tell everybody they're being racist.
What do you think about his comment about the Black Little Mermaid? Just because racists hate it doesn't mean it's good.
I mean, it's true. It's the fact that everybody, when that Black Little Mermaid, when they did the remake for that, everybody was like, "Oh, you have to be able, you have to go see it. You can't not like it. You got to love it." And then everybody went, "This movie sucks, though.
Yeah,
it's awful.
In general, it sucked."
Yeah, it had nothing to do with who the lead actress was. The movie sucked. But because nobody wanted to see it because the movie sucked, you got to say, "Oh, well, it's because you didn't want to see a Black Mermaid in that spot."
It doesn't make you hate it because they replaced a white mermaid with a black, you know, it, like if the story was originally a Black Mermaid, it wouldn't make people hate. And it was a good story. The hatred comes from the fact that someone felt compelled to remake it in a DEI fashion.
Yeah, and didn't change really anything, and just were like, okay, here, we're going to insert this person in here because they fit a demographic that we feel is underrepresented, and damn if we actually fix the script or make it any bit entertaining.
Well, be careful when you watch this eclipse. What is it, Tuesday?
I think it's Monday.
Monday? One woman recalled a horrifying experience that sent her to the hospital following the 2017 partial eclipse that she witnessed in Maine. She's from New York City. They went to Maine, the Acadia National Park. I was looking at it. I'm never going to look at another one again. She found a prominent place to sit, armed with the right protected glasses, handed out at the park. She found a perch. Immediately when it began, she sensed both light and dark at once. She says, "Is this what it's like to take LSD? She also noticed a zombie-like effect and said others looked dazed and confused as well. She said other people looked weird, shocked and weird. Right after the eclipse, I felt dizzy. People said that I was looking pale. It was the weirdest thing. I started to trip and I fell on my face. I fell straight up and there was blood all over the place. They took her to the hospital. She received some stitches in her knee. She said, I will never effing look at an eclipse again, ever. I tell all my family and friends my story. I've scared other people off."
This lady looked directly at the sun. I think she was out for an eclipse party and someone slipped her some drugs and she got into this. There's nothing spooky about it. The sun is getting covered up for a second.
They did quote an ophthalmology professor who says, look, don't look at it, okay? Just don't be stupid. Just because it's a total eclipse. She said she recalled a young woman that came into her office in the ER days after the 2017 eclipse, having developed a crescent-shaped burn on her retina. She looked at the sun for like 30 seconds. So that was it. And hours later, she noticed that the after image in her eyes wouldn't go away. And then I realized, oh no. She was diagnosed with solar retinopathy, retinal damage from exposure to the solar radiation in both of her eyes, a permanent condition with no treatment. 4 months later, she said, it's a nightmare. It makes me very sad when I close my eyes and I see the spot. So it's going to be in her eyes
forever
for the rest of her life.
Yep.
Wow. Don't stare at it. Don't wing it. They say it has a... Well, here's what it does do. Scientists say that it has a profound effect on animals.
Well, I'm sure it messes up with their brains a little bit. They're not dumb enough to stare up at it, though.
Right. one dog just swam out in the ocean, just went crazy. They thought I'd never see it again. they finally did come back. They got her back. She'd never done anything like that, this dog Molly. And they said, well, during this eclipse, she's definitely going to stay in her crate. I've never heard of animals doing. I'm sure it messes with them. They don't understand what an eclipse is. They got a internal clock going, and all of a sudden it's dark in the middle of the day.
I don't know if it really affects them or not.
You don't think so?
I mean, we have such little data on that.
We got Molly.
Molly ran off into the ocean for a little while. But you don't have it on birds or gorillas, or we have no idea what it does to certain animals.
No, we don't.
People are losing. Even though, I will admit, I'm getting closer now. We've had multiple earthquakes over the last couple of days all around the different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Solar eclipse coming. People seem to be going crazy. I might consider starting a doomsday cult over the weekend just to
see if you can.
I'm going to put my feelers out and see if I can get a couple people. I think I could.
Just spitball and see what you get together. Here's some illegal immigrant updates.
A West New York man is charged with attempted murder. Police say Ernesto Lara Rojo cut a woman's throat with a razor blade. That happened yesterday afternoon in Cliffside Park. The victim at the hospital fighting for her life. A West New York man is charged with attempted murder. Police say.
I thought you automatically. I mean, if you someone slit your throat, how do you make it to the hospital?
You can.
You can live?
Yeah, there's people that have lived from it.
The migrant expense in New York has now become a serious news issue. Everybody's now concerned with it. I would be too.
Asylum seekers are getting in some of our biggest blue cities, starting right here in New York. If you're a migrant, you're guaranteed housing. Some of them being placed in hotel rooms that average $300 a night. Then a number of those migrants qualify to be part of the $53 million debit card pilot program. That means they are handed $1,000 on a debit card each and every month. Add SNAP benefits on top of that, and we're talking an additional $1,400. In Los Angeles, migrants are given full coverage health insurance and soon could also get $1,000 a month through the city's new guaranteed income pilot program, which is immigration status blind. That means you could get it even if you're not here legally. And in Chicago, they so far have spent $300 million since 2023 on migrants. That's on things like food and even laundry. As part of that spending, it's going towards rental assistance. If you're a migrant there, you could get up to $15,000 annually to help pay for housing. We want.
Not bad. Free Press is down in Matamoros, Mexico. And they're talking to people, would be aliens that are, kind of getting ready for, the big cross. One guy said, if Trump, he doesn't matter how much I work, he won't let me in. Alejandro Falcón, been traveling for 8 months from Caracas, Venezuela. He said, if Biden doesn't win, I can't imagine what will happen. They know. That might just shut, if Biden loses, not only will it result in an immediate shutdown. Not one dude comes over. That's how shut down it will be.
Yeah, but we will see the greatest border rush of all time.
Well, leading up to it, after between November and January, mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be Christmas in Matamoros. But it might slow down, from now till 2024, we'll see increased numbers because everyone knows. And
they're sprinting now.
Yeah, they know that if they don't get here by then, they're not getting in. Migrants may remain in the U.S. for years where their cases are heard. And many travel around the country, making it hard for immigration officials. I mean, it's going to be a mess. If Trump does decide that he wants to start deporting asylum seekers, it's going to be a very, very difficult thing to accomplish, A, because nobody knows where these people are.
They do. Because they all are still wandering around with those cell phones that we handed out.
Hopefully they can find them. And we're still, Biden is still flying in. How do illegal aliens get flown in 30,000 a month?
Because we have a trade deal with them.
To Texas and Florida.
Yeah, we basically have a trade deal with Venezuela.
What are we trading? Oil? We take their illegals, they give us, and they give us some oil? Trump is banging on the campaign trail. BidenBorderBloodbath.com. 7 in 10 voters agree they disapprove of Biden's handling of the border. I'm surprised it's not higher than that. damn, it's gonna mess with my life. Okay. We have a. What was the name of that sex cult? Nexium?
Yeah, Nexium sex cult.
I don't really understand how a sex cult works, but there's apparently another one called One Taste. It's allegedly an orgasm cult. But they claim, well, we're just a wellness company. Her client, Julia Gatto's client, Nicole Dadone, accused of grooming members into having sex with investors and clients for more than a decade, she claims she has scientifically backed techniques. People who take the classes do the training. Many of them become practitioners. And they call it orgasmic meditation for women. It sounds like it's a Ponzi scheme. Like, we're going to teach you this orgasm thing, meditation, I don't know. And then for whatever fee. And then you can become a practitioner in it. Maybe open up your own little orgasm yoga place or whatever.
I think it was a little of that plus a little bit of a cult type of thing where almost like Scientology where you got levels. Like, hey, you've moved up to a green belt of orgasm control. And
well, they say that One Taste is in the same space as yoga, meditation. It's no different from SoulCycle or CrossFit. Just a wellness company. Prosecutors say that Dadone and her former head of sales ran the business like a cult by recruiting victims with prior trauma, promising to fix their sexual dysfunction. They forced members and employees into debt and subjected them to economic, sexual, emotional, psychological abuse through surveillance, indoctrination, and intimidation. This isn't membership in some secret society, her attorney said. This is a community developed around like-minded people that are introduced to one another.
Yeah, there was a documentary on Netflix called Orgasm Inc. that talked about it.
Orgasm Inc.?
Yeah, Orgasm Inc. And they promoted an orgasmic meditation. It's a trademark procedure that usually involves a man using a gloved, lubricated fingertip to pleasure a woman for 15 minutes.
A man?
Yes.
They told the Dadone and Sherwood's alleged manipulative tactics and techniques will be presented as evidence through witness testimony at the trial. The summaries of portions of witness statements given over 20 witnesses and identified each of the witnesses. They don't get into details. But the woman would pay?
Yeah, former employees claim that it was basically a prostitution ring with staff being allegedly asked to have sex or perform orgasmic meditation with each other and One Taste clients. They also had to do to move up the next level, you had to go take certain courses and attend retreats, but they were charged like $200,000 for it. And you would have to like, okay, I guess I'll do the $200,000 retreat, and then they would deduct that out of you, basically putting
people in debt. What do you mean, you go to the Philippines and give some girls an orgasm over there? Now they're out of business, which makes room for my new company, Knuckle Deep. It's more like a fitness deal.
It's working on hand strength.
Yeah, primarily hand strength. The other NXIVM was a different thing. They lead you to believe that this is all women involved in this. It's all for women. It's all women. You get them, you show up there, and there's Dr. Jellyfinger. Hope he's handsome.
No one glove.
God, how creepy. What, do you just lay down on a table?
Yeah, for 15 minutes.
It's like a quick massage, I guess, more or less.
Yeah, a downstairs one.
So they're not necessarily... I don't see anything in the stories about this one taste that says they were in any way some type of prostitution's not mentioned anywhere in here.
Yeah, because it's...
So had they not just done the Ponzi scheme, the multi-level marketing thing, they might have been all right.
Yeah, because it's hard to prove, because they're saying it's a... they tried to say it was a medical procedure that they were performing. It wasn't supposed to be like a... it's not a sex act. It's a medical procedure for them to have a proper orgasm for stress relief and things like that.
Medical procedure.
Yes, medical procedure. So these are basically they were kind of like doing chiropractic courses for general massages.
Is that... It's like the Green Lotus for girls.
Yeah.
More or less, right?
Basically, yeah.
It's a handy. Wow. And they made some money at that. People in this Long Island area, Bethpage community area. In the area, there's been heightened... cases of cancer. In a park there in Long Island, they discovered there used to be a baseball field there. They stopped using it for that because of soil contamination issues. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, in investigating it, they have discovered 55-gallon steel drums encased in concrete buried beneath deep in the park.
I always love when we find, like, people just forgot the fact that they buried all these toxic chemicals in the ground, and then they put a park on top of it.
Well, they knew that it was the Northrop Grumman aerospace dumping ground for a long time.
Yeah, but we were looking for local parks. The land was cheap.
Yeah, the Northrop Grumman put some nice topsoil on it and planted some trees and call it a day. They said, we discovered Grumman's graveyard for contamination. These drums were encased in concrete coffins, which proves to us that they knew they contained very dangerous content. Residents there in Bethpage argue that cancer is more prevalent there than in surrounding areas. There's a 6-square-mile underground toxic plume. That's what they're calling it. Each of the drums were found 7 feet deep. There was punctures. Some of them contained flammable liquids. A layer of clay was found beneath the drums where the chemicals could have seeped. They're next to an 18-acre park. And the abandoned baseball field, it's been closed for 20 years for contaminated soil. 20 years.
And they were like, just throw, the kids will be fine. Throw some clay over top of it.
Yeah, play ball. Wow. They say it's going to be about $20 million to clean up this, I don't know if they ever get really, is it ever really clean at any point? Yeesh. All right, when we return, you know it's election season. And although Biden and even Nancy Pelosi and many other people, agreed that it's impossible and it's illegal to do so, Biden is going to campaign once again on wiping out student debt. I mean, it worked once, right? I don't know.
Voted before.
That dude is going to, he's going to make up ways to reduce student debt. Supreme Court knocked it down. Anyway, we'll talk about it next, and we'll get to Heather Has Answers. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I like hearing about elections in other countries and, you know, what campaigning is like, you know.
Yeah, what gets people to the vote, into the voting booth there?
Right.
Or at least like the pot with the blue dip that you put your finger in.
Yeah. In India, Chandrapur, India, Vanita Raut, an independent candidate from Chandrapur, she is made some headlines for her electoral promises. Here are her exact words. Extremely poor people toil hard. Extremely poor people toil hard. They toil hard and only find solace in drinking liquor. But they cannot afford quality whiskey or beer. They get to drink only country liquor. And there is no limit to the quantity they consume. So they pass out. Hence, I want them to experience imported liquor and enjoy it. I want them to enjoy and enjoy only. So the way I understand it, the poor people in Chandrapur, the extremely poor people, they work, they toil all day long. They find solace in drinking, but they can't go out and buy good stuff. So they have to go and drink country liquor, which I don't know what country liquor is.
Basically moonshine. Somewhat of a bathtub alcohol.
Yeah. Made. Apparently, it makes you pass out.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're drinking gasoline.
But Vanita Raut wants them to experience the good life and imported liquor so they can enjoy it. She's vowing to establish beer bars in every village and distribute imported whiskey and beer to the less fortunate. When she's confronted with concerns about the detrimental effects of excess drinking, she remains steadfast and says that emphasizes her belief in responsible consumption. She hopes that by normalizing the drinking culture and removing societal guilt associated with alcohol, her initiatives could foster a healthier relationship with libations. A handle of Jameson in every kitchen.
I'm voting.
I mean, if you're extremely poor in India, like India poor is, I mean, it blows away America poor. You're probably not going to get out of the poverty in that situation. You're just probably,
you're there.
Generational poverty.
Yeah. I mean, they're still coming out of caste system stuff anyway. Yeah. So you're never going to.
And then along comes a candidate that's like, hey, imported liquor, anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. You want a bottle of America's best Tennessee bourbon?
You got it. You want a keg of a fine handcrafted beer?
No, I really can't afford a lot of this. So honestly, you'll be getting a keg of PBR, and but look, it's important.
Hell yeah, PBR and some old Overholt. they'd probably be out of their sandals happy about it.
They call this Molson.
Yes, that is a shatterproof bottle. You're right. That's in case you drop it.
This red liquid, that's Mad Dog 2020.
Yeah, I want to introduce you. This is called Tickle Pink. It's for the ladies.
I mean, she knows how to get to the people.
Wait, but really, they're drinking already some rot gut. And you think that you're going to give them higher quality, better quality liquor and beer, and that will make them somehow drink less?
I think it's more like it? Not go blind from drinking bathtub gin.
So these very poor Chandrapur Indian inhabitants are just drinking themselves to nirvana on some white lightning out of okay. But if they get the fine taste of a Kentucky bourbon, they're just going to sip it from a snifter.
Maybe we'll, maybe we'll just slow it down.
Even though he was thwarted at the Supreme Court, he's going to launch a second attempt to wipe out an estimated $145 billion in student loan debt that 4 million Americans have. They've already estimated the amount. The Wall Street Journal reports that he's going to outline his latest proposal to cancel the debt during a trip to Madison, Wisconsin, Monday. Highlighted the administration's range of efforts to forgive student loans. The new regulations are set to be issued soon next week. What do they mean, regulations?
They're going to try again.
Maybe they're going to try to change some laws or change some regulations.
No, they're just going to. I honestly think he's just going to declare it again and then force the courts to have to go, everybody to send it back to the courts again.
Because.
While it's in the courts, he can just say, well, I forgave it. I don't know what the courts are holding. Like this Republican Supreme Court's holding everything up. I can't do anything about it. Yeah. But I did it for you.
And then once if it gets him elected again, the same thing will happen as last time. Well, we did everything we could.
Yeah, what can we do?
We're still trying. Yeah. We'll figure out something. but if he loses, nothing.
And then he can just be like, I tried. You didn't vote for me.
A proposed regulation expected to outline several categories that would qualify borrowers for relief. Wall Street Journal reports, including financial hardship, a path for those that have carried the debt for an extended period of time. But the last time he announced it, wanted to cancel it to $20,000. That was 2023. The Supreme Court blocked it. Later that year, he announced an income-driven repayment save plan. 2024, he's started canceling debt under the SAVE plan. 11 states 2 months ago sued to block the SAVE plan. they all launched, it's called Saving on a Valuable Education. It's an income drive repayment plan that cuts down the amount of time and money some borrowers have to pay before their loan debt is forgiven. Like, if you paid it on time for a certain amount of time, the new regulation,
it goes away.
7.7 million borrowers have enrolled in that plan. They're going to continue to identify borrowers that could qualify for it. 11 states filed lawsuits to block it, the forgiveness program. It argues that the effort is no different than the first attempt that was killed by the Supreme Court. Kansas, Alabama, Alaska, Idaho, Louisiana, Montana, Nebraska, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah. And I think the people that it hurts the most are the ones that worked their ass off, the millions of people that busted their ass either to pay their own student debt off or their parents busted their ass with a second job, and they did the right thing. Now, they're not going to get the money back. There's a total of $1.6 trillion out there in federal student loan debt. I mean, it's a great way to buy a vote or several, million votes.
Yeah, and they went right back to the well again. It worked for them before. They're running the same exact campaign they ran last time.
I think he could do better by guaranteeing high-quality liquor for poor people.
Mm-hmm.
I love this story. I love it. I love it. I love it. Remember the Amazon Just Walk Out store It's going to be AI, tech-based, tech-powered. You go into the store, you get what you want, you put it in a bag or a box, you just walk out. An AI knows what you bought, it knows who you are, and it gets charged to your Amazon account. Right?
That's, in theory, yes.
Groundbreaking technology driven by computer vision wasn't exactly what they promised. Instead of this magic and AI, this then technology and, you know, the wondrous interweb tech, whatever, what really happened is around 1,000 workers in India were watching screens covered every customer at every place in the store, and they just reviewed what the customers picked up and sat down and what they walked out with. That was the technology. Well, they got a bunch of guys over from the call center over there. Said, hey, guys, we need you in this other room.
Yeah, that's all they did. 1,000 people in a room watching people shop all day long and just typing in what they put in their basket.
Wow.
And it was supposedly this great AI technology that you didn't. It was just scanning everything as you put it into the basket.
Amazon disputes the claim. They go, no. They were just assisting in the training model. Yeah. Amazon plans to phase out their walkout technology at the Amazon Fresh stores in favor of dash carts. Smart shopping cart allow you to avoid checkout line by just automatically tracking and charging for the selections as you go. Yeah.
That's funny. Heather.
Hello.
Are you ready to read us some
so ready.
From our fantastic audience? Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. You know what we're talking about here.
Okay, so this first one, I can't be the only one who experiences this, so I'm curious how Mr. and Mrs. Burke handle this. Heather, you and EZ are welcome to chime in. Thank you for that. My wife's best friend is coming to visit us for a week. She's rich, old money rich. That would be fine, but she also has a stereotypical, well, if poor people would just work harder, they'd be like me attitude. She's never accomplished anything herself, bailed out of school after switching colleges 4 times. Daddy paid her way. She never worked. Daddy gave her husband a job in the family biz, making $150K right when they got married, despite him having no credentials, no identifiable skills at all in the field, along with 6 figures in cash for starter money. Husband's family are all millionaires too. She's constantly talking about the vacations she and her husband take and the things they're all buying, all the research she's doing about what she wants to buy next. But the part that gets me is the lecturing. My house is always under construction because I can't afford interior designers for everything. Why don't you just hire it out? When I say I can't afford it, it's, well, you should just tell your boss you need more money like my husband does. He wins every negotiation with his boss because her dad is the owner. I'm not going to do anything off-putting like tell her off. She wouldn't take the lesson from a peasant making $90K a year like me anyway, with my pre-owned cars and thrift store clothes and fixer-upper house. So what would your advice be how to keep cool and find my happy place through an entire week of this? How do you handle difficult relatives and friends of this type? Bill in Lake Nona Estates. Just kidding, y'all. I'm in Azalea Park.
Wow. I will admit that my wife has some friends that I don't like. Or not many. I don't know that I have a similar situation. Not quite. No.
I don't have any rich friends visiting, so I don't know.
I have some friends that are my age that are very wealthy, like old family stuff, money like that, but they're not a-holes about it, you know? They, you know, one has a Monet in his living room, like a real Monet.
Wow.
Yeah, with a light on it from, you know, the ceiling. I'm like,
oh my
dude,
gosh.
Can I touch it? Because no, please don't touch it. that's a difficult one. Is she a friend of his wife's?
It sounds like it, yeah. Okay.
Well, does his wife feel the same way about
it? Wife's best friend. He didn't mention that. He may just have to suck it up, and if his wife is okay with it and it's her friend, just ignore the parts you don't like.
Here's what you do. See if you can get her to pay for some of that work on your house.
Right.
There you See, go. You know, all I need is another 30 grand. If I had that, I'd just...
And who do you recommend? Get her advice. Make it sound like it's all her idea.
And then go out for a nice steak and make her stick her with the tab.
You know? I wonder if she'd pay.
Why is she staying there? She's staying there for a week?
Yes. I guess she's just from out of town.
Probably vacation in Florida. Doesn't want to pay for a hotel or an Airbnb.
Or maybe staying with friends is better because it's more personal and you don't... And I don't know.
It sounds like she has no regard for them as their friends.
It does
friends.
Sound like that.
Well, what's this guy's name?
Bill.
Bill? You got an old pair of boxer shorts you can wear around the house for a week?
That's what I was going to say, is Bill needs to lean hard into it. I'm talking...
Overalls, maybe.
Overalls. Maybe go to a junkyard and get yourself an old beater to put in the front lawn on some blocks. Maybe a front lawn toilet. Get you some...
Move your couch to the porch.
Get some junkyard dogs to chain up in the front lawn. And
get a couple of chickens in the backyard running around everywhere. Y'all want breakfast? I'm going to go get some eggs.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
I think that Kim and I would grin and bear it, and we would have a wild time joking about it afterwards.
Right? Oh, that would be so fun. That'd be so fun.
Good luck, Bill.
All right, one more. Hey, radio friends. I have a friend who's always been a little cheap with the shared checks at dinner. If I throw my card down for ease and let people Venmo me, he'll pay me like a conservative estimate of his portion. Often short of the real total, and also not take tax or tip into account. I always kind of forget about this until he does it again. A few months ago, he estimated $25 when he owed me $40, and I was like, bro, and he seemed perplexed and gave me the $40. I tell you all this because our last hangout, it was just us, and through our conversation about COVID and his current joblessness, he reluctantly revealed that he's an heir to one of the biggest family fortunes in America. He has virtually endless funds for the rest of his life. I had zero idea, and I don't think many people who know him do. His family seemed normal. They have a different last name than the famous one. I don't really know how to react to this, except especially in the light of just thinking I had a pretty cheap friend. Instead, I was partly subsidizing an extremely rich person. What do you think is going on in this person's brain? And do you think I should just point out to him that he does this explicitly?
Absolutely, you point that out to him.
Derek, not rich, just nice.
You have to call him out on it. Every single time, you have to call him out on it.
Dude, we weren't all raised like you.
Yeah, and I mean, does he... So they didn't know he was an heir to some giant family fortune, so he must just look like a normal guy. One of these trust fund kids type of deal. You got to point it out to him. And you got to say, bro, since you're with the DuPont family or whatever family it is, you're buying today.
Yeah, I'm not putting the card down anymore.
No, not anymore. I'll Venmo you. How about we do it that way?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, how about he forgets his wallet the next time they go out, and he says, I'll Venmo you, buddy. How's that sound? And then you start to short sheet him on the bill.
That's a great idea. I like that one.
Man, that's cheapo. I mean, I never expect my Richie Rich friends to pick up the tab, but if they started to shortchange me, I would have to say, wait a second here.
Yeah, at least pay the bill that you your portion.
Right.
And where are these people finding their Richie Rich friends?
Well, this guy didn't even know he had a Richie Rich friend until he let it. He just blurted it out one day.
They were just having a conversation.
And he just happened to mention, I never had to worry about money. I have an endless amount of it because I'm a part of this giant, famous family.
I can't even imagine what that must be.
Then why are we at Hooters splitting the ticket?
I like the wings.
It's the atmosphere.
My brother was a very, very generous rich dude, and you couldn't get the check from him. Oh. And if... Somehow, I remember one time I was in town meet my aunt and uncle, and he showed up. We all had Tex-Mex, and then he got up to go to the bathroom. I got up to go to the bathroom, and I found our waiter elsewhere, and I said, do not let that other guy pick up the tab. Run it on this card, and he was pissed. I mean, he was mad. He goes, dude, I was going to get that. I'm like, I know, you always get it. I got it for a change. And he was, I mean, he was beside himself. So that's the way that guy should be.
Yeah.
Mr. Richie Rich, DuPont Pants.
I agree. So if anybody else would like us to examine your life choices and tell you how to handle them, you can email me at heatherhasanswers@gmail.com.
heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Oh, I got to move your other music closer to this music so I can not have to move things around. Remember the gambler that won three jackpots we talked about? Like it won a four-hour period?
Yes.
Apparently won a fourth. A pretty good run.
This guy's got to have some pit bosses looking at him from here on out.
At this point, I would. You know, if you were a pit boss or you ran a casino, you'd start to think maybe this guy has. They say these things are unbeatable.
Yeah, there's something, though. I mean, the odds are that he's doing right now are just insane.
It's an electronic machine. It's not the old school rollers. He placed a $2,500 bet on a spin, and he hit the jackpot for another $668,000 for so like a $1.2 million he won. We don't know how much he put in.
Yeah, we have no idea. Well, I mean, we know that he was dropping $2,500 a spin at one point, so.
So he may have drained the first $600,000 trying to win this $600,000.
He may have.
Well, isn't that just a sign that as long as you play, as long as you have, you know, you're playing the big money on the big money machine, the odds are eventually you'll win some money back?
Yeah, eventually, if you have the means to do things like that. But in the end, the house always wins, and there's a reason why you have those super rich people that you find out they've got like $20 million in gambling debt.
Right, right, yeah. He's had a super lucky run, and they find out he's, you know, driving a 72 Ford Maverick.
Yeah, because his super lucky run goes very real quick when you're dropping $2,500 a spin.
Yeah. The player likely had a portion withheld for taxes, blah, 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 blah. The jackpot was more than... when winnings... The jackpot is... They're required to withhold 24% of the winnings when the jackpot is more than 300 times the bet. That's how that goes? If the jackpot amount is more than 300 times the amount,
the house has to hold it. Basically, that's the deal
for the IRS. Yeah,
that's the deal the IRS has with them. Is it says if you win it, if they win that giant jackpot, you have to be the one that takes the money out to give to us.
Right, because they can't be trusted.
Yeah. So at $670,000 at $2,500 a spin, it would take him 268 spins to blow through all the money.
Wow. That doesn't take long to hit that handle 268 times.
I mean, theoretically, if you could pull one off every second, you could, in 4.4 minutes, you could blow through $660,000.
Good Lord. Yeah, they don't publish all the good stuff. Yeah, this is great. This is great for the casino, you know.
I mean, that's why they are publishing that, though. They want to tell everybody, oh, look, this guy's done. He's the winner.
Yeah, they don't mention that they had to hand his bookie all that money to pay off his sports gambling bets. You know. All right, when we return, we'll get to your remarks and perhaps the scariest case of identity theft you've ever heard. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm going to kind of blow through this story. There's a lot to it. So a guy worked at the University of Iowa Hospital, has pled guilty to federal charges, living under another man's identity since 88. And I mean really living under his identity. His name is Matthew David Kearns. He's living with William Donald Wood's name, although he changed Donald to Daniel. But he's been living under for a long, long time. He met the guy working with him in 1988 at a hot dog cart in Albuquerque. He used it in every... Kearns used Woods' identity in every aspect of his life, obtaining employment, getting insurance, official documents, paying taxes under the name. He obtained a fraudulent Colorado ID with Woods' name. He used that ID to get a job, opened a bank account. He bought a car using Woods' name using for $600 in 1991, using two checks for $300 that both bounced. Because of that, he had a warrant for his arrest. He 6 years after he started using his name, he got married, had a child whose last name is Woods. 24 years after he started using the name, he fraudulently acquired a copy of Woods' birth certificate from a Kentucky, from the state of Kentucky, using information he found out about Woods' family on Ancestry.com. He moved to Wisconsin, started an IT job with a hospital, worked there, earned $700,000 in his 10 years there. In 2023, his salary was up to $140,000. He obtained multiple vehicle personal loans, Iowa credit unions loans, totaling more than $200,000. He had money in bank accounts under Woods' name. So in 2019, the real William Woods, living homeless in Los Angeles, went to a branch of the National Bank, explained it's recently discovered someone was using his credit card, had accumulated a lot of debt. He didn't want to pay that debt. He gave the bank employee his real Social Security card, authentic California ID card, which matched the information the bank had on file. There was a big amount of money, so the bank employee asked Woods a series of security questions he was unable to answer. The bank employee then called Kieran, so they thought was Woods, as numbers connected to the accounts. He answered the questions correctly and said nobody in California should have access to his accounts. They called LAPD. He faxed the LA officers a copy of Woods' Social Security card and both birth certificate, as well as a Wisconsin's driver's license that Kieran's had acquired under Woods' name. So Kieran told LAPD that someone must use David as a middle name, but his real name is William Donald. The real Woods was arrested and charged with identity theft of the dude that stole his identity. False representation, because Woods continued to insist throughout the judicial process that he was William Woods and not Matthew Kearns, a judge ruled that he was not mentally competent to stand trial, and he was sent to a mental hospital in California where he received psychotropic medication and other mental health treatment. He pled no contest to the identity theft charges, meaning he didn't accept guilt or innocence. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison and got credit for 2 years already served in the county jail and the hospital. He was ordered to pay $400 in fines and to stop using the name William Woods. He continued to try to get his identity back. He filed customer disputes with financial organizations in an attempt to clear his credit. He also reached out to multiple law enforcement agencies, including Heartland Police, where in Wisconsin, where Kieran's lived. He eventually discovered where he was working, and he reached out to the University of Iowa Hospital Security Department, who referred his complaint to the university police. The detective there, Ian Mallory, opened an investigation. They found the biological father listed on Woods' birth certificate, which both Woods and Kieran's had sent from an official copy, and tested the father's DNA against Woods' DNA. The test proved Woods was the man's son. They interviewed Kieran's. He asked what his father's name was. Kieran's accidentally gave the name of his own father. Then he confronted Kieran's with the DNA evidence, and Kieran's responded by saying, quote, "My life is over and everything is gone." Then he confessed the whole thing.
Yeah, your life is over. You stole the life of another guy.
And by insisting that he was who he was put in a mental hospital. Jesus. He is in federal court indicted 5 counts of false statement to a National Credit Union Administration insured institution, 2 counts of aggravated identity theft. He pled guilty to one of each, and the other counts were dropped. He pled guilty, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he hadn't been sentenced in the big stuff yet, currently in the custody of the U.S. Marshals. Yikes.
I'd love to know what his life before was, though.
Yeah, what was he running from?
He stole the life of a guy that was working in a hot dog cart together. There'd never been a time where I was working at a Burger King where I was like, oh, I gotta steal the life of that guy over there.
Yeah, he's on the grill. That is just a insane story. He's meanwhile, he's got a great job, a wife and a kid, and the real guy's homeless. On the streets. Shall we get to some remarks?
Yes.
From the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Just a river of content. Commercial-free podcasts up there as well of this program to go way back. And hit the little microphone button, and you can leave us a message. Here we go.
Star Trek guy. Listen to yesterday's show. I'd also like to put a complaint in. My Chevy spark's leaking a little oil. I mean, not enough it shows up on the dipstick, but every once in a while there's a drip. Can you guys fix that for me? Come on, people. They're talk show hosts. They're not engineers. And the apps engineers probably aren't even in that building. Just be patient. Be-do-be-do.
I probably could fix your oil leak.
Yeah, we got that covered. Bring it on over.
No big deal.
Hey, Shannon, how do you feel about the voting process this year as opposed to 2020? Honestly, I haven't seen anything to tell me that they've fixed any of the voting problems, any of the erroneous ballots, any of the big ballot dumps and harvesting and all that. I mean, why can't they do the same thing this time that they did 4 years ago in 2020? This is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know that a lot of things were that in Wisconsin, for example, ballot boxes were unconstitutional. They changed rules by a judge and not through the legislature these days. Same thing in Philly. They changed some rules about how early you could vote and some other things. But they're all done not in the constitutional manner. They were not done by the state's individual legislature. So I know those things have been brought to the surface. And I would imagine that after 2020 that we'll have watchdogs on the ground. In 2020 we did too. They just taped up white poster board on the window so nobody could see them cheating.
And they've had 4 more years to figure some new stuff out.
So. I'm sure. I'm worried about it as much as you are, dude, quite honestly.
That ain't no earthquake. That's God digging a hole. Big old sinkhole underneath New York City to go ahead and take them where they truly belong. Down below. Way down below.
All right.
Be-do-be-do.
Wouldn't you get that was the strongest earthquake in the East in 140 years. And now you got that new World Trade Center. I don't know what it's called. The super tall. Do you think the top of that thing sways?
I mean, it's designed to. I don't know. Did you see the video of the super tall tower in Taiwan?
Oh, yeah. That sucker was moving.
I mean, it's supposed to do that. It did the right thing.
I was in California. The first earthquake I experienced there, I was in the seventh floor of a hotel, sixth floor of a hotel. And I was looking out the window at some trees. And that's when I felt it. And the tree was going, whoosh, and it freaked me out. I didn't want to take the elevator down. And I went downstairs, this building might crash. And they laughed. It was a brand new hotel. They're like, no, it's got a hinge on it or something. It's at the second floor or it'll swing all over the place. Okay, that made me feel so much better.
Why do we never see Ashley Biden in any photos with her Joe Biden? That right there tells you, diary's real. He's a creep.
But she does get a stocking at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. She was just with him. Was it Easter for the Camp David trip? I saw the way she was with him just recently.
Is she married?
I think so, maybe.
She's kind of cute.
Howdy, guys. Nate in Bakersfield, California. Hey, you're talking about how the president's daughter has her diary that got misplaced or whatever. This Biden family, they are the biggest white trash family that has ever been in the White House. I mean, I thought the Clintons were the biggest white trash family trying to steal furniture and stuff out when they left. But no, the Bidens, they're more white trash than the Clintons. Drug-addicted kids. The guy's a compulsive liar. I know white trash people. That's all they do is lie.
You're white trash people.
Art sucks. And so does Kamala and her stupid kid.
All right.
Hey, guys, to clear this thing up about the use of the term March Madness for the women's tournament where Kamala is clueless, seems like most of the country is, but she's really clueless. They cleared it up on sports radio today. The term March Madness has been available to the women's tournament for years. The organizers of the women's tournament chose not to use it because they wanted to differentiate themselves from the men's tournament. They finally realized this year to use it, and it worked, along with Caitlin Clark. Beto Beto.
Yeah, they're getting some TV ratings.
Yeah, the LSU-Iowa game from a couple of nights ago was one of the most viewed sporting events in this past year.
Wow.
The Democrats have lost black people, man. I just watched a full hour-long interview with Candace Owens on that Breakfast Club show with Charlamagne the God. They were getting along. They said she was making good points, and she knew they were treating her like a person. Very respectful and very nice. I didn't expect that, but it shows me that they've lost them. They are going to slowly wake up. It's going to be a slow rollout, but they're going to wake up.
All right.
Oh, what's that? Oh, Ashton must be in the jar. Paul Smith is a pervert. I can't believe people are actually condoning that type of behavior, and this guy's the president. It's crazy. And did that lady, did she make any efforts to conceal the diary she found? Was she the owner looking for it and she concealed it? If that's the case, then she would be in the wrong, but she didn't. So why are they weaponizing the Department of Justice against this woman?
Yeah, it wasn't like Ashley didn't go looking for it.
It is just like the laptop and the fact that they weren't looking for it. When it was found, they just tried to say, well, it's not even real. Why are we even worried about this?
Those stupid people. Everybody knows nobody can look at the eclipse without them glasses except for Trump.
Easy, Star Trek guy. You forgot about the locust coming too. Let's start this June Day cult. I just want to be in the top portion of the pyramid so I make a little bit of money. You could be on the very top. I don't care. Beedoo, beedoo.
Yeah, the locust is going to freak people out, I think.
Yeah, and we've got plague coming. We've got bird flu.
I got a story about a toilet rat.
War, pestilence, plague.
Toilet rat.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Driving up I-75 today, heading towards Ocala, saw Border Patrol vehicles. They're little white police cars with the green stripes on the side sitting in the median. Not sure what's going on there. Also saw a bunch of FEMA trucks and trailers heading south on 75, all the same location. Watch the news. What's going on? Beedoo beedoo.
Border Patrol sitting on just one vehicle or several vehicles?
It sounded like you just said one, but...
Yeah, there's Border Patrols in every... state, you know, looking for bad guys, I would imagine. I don't know about FEMA heading south. When does hurricane season start? July, June?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there? Oh, it's going to be the worst ever.
Oh, I saw it was actually the worst ever. There was the article yesterday. Was that this will be the worst one they think ever happened.
This is good.
Which... Yeah, of course, last year, I think I saw the same exact article that said this is the worst one from that one. And
hey, what's up, guys? Ray here. You know, it's funny. They say it's going to be really hard to deport illegals, this, and that. But Obama deported more than anybody else. I think he deported 3.5 million illegals back to Mexico and back to wherever they came from. So it shouldn't be a big problem at all since Obama did it, you know, Mr. King Black Man. Took care of it and sent them back home where they belong. Trump shouldn't have a problem at all. Beedle, beedle, rare it out.
He will. He'll be a heartless, racist, you know.
It'll be no different than the kids in cages. The kids in cages started with Obama. But when with Trump, AOC had to come down there and cry at the border because of all the kids they had in cages locked up.
How come restaurants or bars don't just automatically give out separate checks when they see just guys come in together? Why would you put all that on one check? Split it up. And that just gets rid of the confusion. I can't say how many times I end up picking up the whole check just because, I don't know, a lot of people I know just kind of think it's expected of me. And it, I don't know, just feels used.
My experience, if you're like at a sports bar or something like that, when you ask, whenever I ask for a check and I'm there with friends, they'll go separate or all together.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. You don't want to make the assumption if it's a large group of people and just go in there and start handing out separate checks, because then that'll piss off somebody that, you know, if there it was a, say it was a boss brought his employees there, and then all of a sudden the waiter comes out and starts handing out separate checks, they're going to go, what the hell's going on?
Right.
And then, of course, you have to go back and put them all back to on one check, and most POS systems don't are
yeah,
not happy with that.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to do if you have to go back and do it after the fact. Sometimes they'll ask you up front, you know, is this together or is, what, yeah. you know.
That's a good server should ask that right away.
Man, I miss Bubba Whoop and his songs. I've been dying to hear Mr. Bass.
We don't have Mr. Bass. How long is Kids in Cages?
Like 6 minutes long. That was one of his longer ones.
Consider this a PSA from your local heavy haul truck driver. When you see me coming down the road with all my lights flashing, 13-foot wide dozer blade on deck, and I put on a turn signal, I'm not asking permission. I'm letting you know I need to come over. Unless you want to meet the business end of this can opener on my deck, you might want to comply.
Okay.
That is all.
All right. Was that trucker just threatening everybody on the road to get out of his way?
He's got good advice. Get out of the way of the trucker on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. A little off topic, but.
Speaking of white trash, Ian, calling Atlanta here. Happy freaking Friday, boys. Did you ever watch Red, White, and Wasted? Maybe.
I wanted to. Then I explained to Kim exactly what it was. And she's like, you know, we might be able to find something a little more, you know, I don't know, non-white trash to watch.
Yes, I can see a new special. It'd behoove someone to make a television special of, like, Trailer Park Boys meets the Bidens, you know what I mean? Brandon's Trailer Park. Be-doo, be-doo.
Yeah, I read up on the cicadas / locusts coming in. Move along, nothing to see here that's good for the environment. It provides extra food, so there'll be a feed frenzy from different things that eat insects. The biggest thing is they're loud and obnoxious, but completely harmless to the environment, and it's actually a good thing.
Well, there's unfortunately, there's nobody alive that can write about or tell us about what this two brood emergence will do, because the last time it happened, Thomas Jefferson was president.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of bugs.
Yeah, and I get it that it's good for the environment. It's you know, birds and such that feed on them will eat. It helps. They come out of the ground, which helps aerate the soil. But yeah, they're loud. You know, they're loud, and we've never seen this many coming at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, they emerge every couple of years. It's the fact that this two groups are massive groups, and they very rarely ever emerge at the same time. That's what's called right. Why it's more of a little, like, big deal.
Trillions and trillions. I'm not saying, I mean, it's just going to be, I don't know, visually, if it's a visual thing, like when you see a cloud of cicadas, they're normally just sticking to a tree, making that noise. We used to tie a thin piece of string around the thorax of the head, and you can fly it around like a plane.
Hey, Z, good news. I just talked to Sponge, and he said he would give us money and promote our cult if, when we kill ourselves, we're all wearing the Air Bubbas.
What was the name of that cult?
Oh, that was...
They're going to get on a comet or something?
Yeah, the Hale-Bopp Comet cult.
That's one of the most organized cult mass suicides ever.
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
Yes.
Did the head guy kill himself too?
No, he did not, if I remember correctly. He gave them all the special punch, and they all
about right behind you guys. Don't worry.
You can still go to their website. It's still up.
Really?
Yeah. It is a snapshot of like 90s because it's all
the old school website.
Old school website.
Hey man, this is Mr. Bass. Hey, somebody talking about me on there? This is Mr. Bass.
We never did have that song. It was done somewhere else. Bubba worked. But we have a library of it. 6 minutes. That's a long one. Those are the remarks for today. Oh, for this hour. We'll do it again in the final hour. Madonna's attorneys, those dudes, some people sued because it was a dumb lawsuit. She didn't come on. She came up 3 hours late. They called it a work injury. because they had to get up early to go to work. It's not really a legal injury. Her lawyer said you can't really sue over something like this. Then they went on to explain it. You see, Madonna is so famous that, you know.
Yeah, they use the argument that she just can't. She's famous. She can't be required to be on time.
Right. They said that, you know, they also said they were free to do at any time what they wanted to. If they had concerns about getting home or waking up early. They didn't plead any injury. They themselves suffered spending a night at an incredible concert.
Yeah, they lost this one right away because I think they immediately pulled up the guy's ex account and said, I had a great time last night at the Madonna concert. Yeah. Okay, dude, you lost that one already.
All right, we're getting dark.
It's Friday. We're going to have some fun. And I want to help y'all out just a little bit because I know Friday night, Saturday, you want a little love and action with your lady. And maybe you're just not feeling the urge.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about some ancient aphrodisiac techniques that you could get the old, you know, motor running. Spanish fly is a real thing, like a real type of fly that you would eat, kind of. It's a beetle, actually, but. So the whole gas station thing that you see,
it's not real. What about horny goat weed? Wasted on that. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. North Korea, where you can't wear blue jeans, can't even show a guy wearing blue jeans on television. It's too Western. Well, they have a North Korean Patriot patrols out, giving hard times to women carrying their purses slung over just one shoulder.
Oh, those capitalist whores.
Unsocialist. Anybody caught on their way to school or to work with a bag over just one shoulder is being stopped and lectured against copying the people of capitalist South Korea. They've had their bags confiscated or even been expelled from school in some cases. In the most extreme cases, the reoffending bag carriers are being punished with spells in labor camps. The only appropriate way to carry a bag is in the approved socialist style, worn on the back with the straps over both shoulders or held in the grip of just one hand.
That's true socialism right there.
They've got the Socialist Patrol Youth League. They're cracking down on college student who wore a bag hanging by their side at the main gate. They confirmed that college students prefer to wear shoulder bags with long straps at their sides because they often watch South Korean television shows. You'll be punished for spreading the culture of the South Korean puppets, they say. I mean, they're just there, right? You're on the same peninsula. It's not like they're a whole different world. They have a war on external forces there. the human rights, you know, dozens of people, many children sentenced to long prison terms or even executed for watching foreign programming. Shoulder brags, just another entry on a growing list considered contrary to the nation's socialist beliefs. Clothing, can't wear clothing that deviates from the baggy looking Chairman Mao style. Having a hairstyle that's not on the list of approved hairstyles. You can't have a pet. Even wedding banquets are symptoms of capitalism. Clinking wine glasses at a receptions is frowned upon. Oh, man, what a maniac. Let's get dark, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Yes, it is Friday. And I know a lot of y'all want to go out on a nice day tonight. Nice dinner, some drinks, some dancing, and then get it on.
Yeah, bow chicka bow wow.
But, you know, sometimes the want is there, but the body is not willing.
And, you mean the desire is not there?
Yeah, just you're not feeling it. You're like, I'd love to, but it's all limp noodle down there. And, you know, sometimes medicine needs to be there to help you. And we have Viagra now and Cialis and all those other ones that they're printing out like money because they can. But before that, I mean, what did you do? What if you just had enjoyed your roast mutton and you left the local tavern and you found a fair maiden and you wanted to get it on and you didn't?
I've been bogged down from all the mutton I ate.
you got mutton gut and a little bit of whiskey D going on.
You had to stop by and get some horny goat weed at the 7-Eleven. It's right there at the counter next to the lighters.
Kind of. But we'll start with somebody. His name pops up a lot, and that's Pliny the Elder. Ancient Greek. He shows up a lot, mainly because I think a lot of things were also attributed to Pliny the Elder. Mainly it's almost like an Aesop's Fables, old wives. You know, like if any type of information went on, you're like, oh, Pliny the Elder definitely told everybody this. But he did have a lot of, the guy was a Renaissance man before the Renaissance, and he kind of was Renaissance, what Renaissance men wanted to be. He dabbled in just about everything. I think a lot of times he just BS'd his way through things too. But he did have a book called His Natural History. Basically, it's a fascinating read. Scientific facts he shares, perhaps the most interesting are the medical remedies he offers, including for the dread disease of flagging libido.
Flagging libido.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, to fix that, quote, a bat's blood.
Bat's blood.
A bat's blood, too, they say. Received on a flock of wool and placed beneath a woman's head will promote sexual desire. The same being the case also with a goose's tongue. Taken with food and drink. Oh, you eat the goose's tongue.
Ugh.
If you
for the male or the female?
For her.
Oh.
If she's having a bad time, you put a little bat's blood on some wool, put it on your pillow, you'll be wanting it after that. Or just get you some goose tongue. I mean, it's plentiful. For the male is having problems with low sexual desire, quote, the right lobe of a vulture's lung attached to the body and the skin of a crane acts powerfully as a stimulant upon males. In effect, yes, the right lobe of a vulture's lung attached to the body and the skin of a crane.
Okay.
You had to put in. You had
so
to.
You got to do some taxidermy in order to get an erection.
The lung of a vulture in a crane skin sack around your neck.
Around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that smell is perfect.
Oh,
for
love
making.
In effect, it acts as a powerful stimulant. An effect equally produced by taking the yolks of 5 pigeon eggs in honey, mixed with 1 denarius of hog's lard, sparrows or eggs of sparrows with the food. Or by wearing the right testicle of a rooster attached to the body of a man in a ram skin.
Good Lord. Just slam it in the old car door, for the love of God.
If you do find yourself way too aroused from Pliny's potions...
Call like a doctor after 4 hours?
Yeah, this is the call a doctor after 4 hours.
Oh, he's got a remedy for it?
Mm-hmm. Quote, a lizard drowned in a man's urine has the effect of an aphrodisiac upon the person whose urine it is.
That I was willing to try some of these. That was just downright silly.
That, it reduces the lust. So basically, you got to
get a bottle, put a lizard in it, fill it full of pee, and put the cap on it.
Yeah, if you've had an erection for more than 4 hours, you got to drown a lizard in your own urine. But could you imagine that? You're like, all right, this has gone on for way too long. Give me a lizard.
Yeah.
All right, let's give it a few seconds. He'll die in a second. Wow. Sympathetic magic. This is a form of folk medicine. In this medicine is the idea that like cures like. So if you're suffering from a disease of the heart, you find a plant that looks like a heart, then no doubt the God shaped it as a heart to fix your heart. That's kind of how it's explained.
Yeah.
For the Greeks, there was a clear relationship between the shape of plant bulbs and the form of testes. Basically, they looked at garlic and they were like, those look like testicles. If you're not feeling it, you got to eat the garlic. So garlic, onions, and wild bulbs were all thought to activate the passions. You might imagine there's a lot of people stimulated and stinking of garlic, though. Other Greek remedies include following line of sympathetic magic were leeks, mainly because, you know, of the garlic shape to them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you couldn't find yourself some leeks garlic,
you found something that looked like your nards and you ate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's how sympathetic magic works. I can't argue it.
Sympathetic magic.
Sympathetic magic, yes.
So you're out in a, you can't get it up. You're out in your underwear in the garden trying to find something that looks like your balls.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right there, honey.
Of course, sometimes you just maybe needed a bottle ingredient. And gladiators, they were the sports stars of the ancient world.
Yeah.
Fan clubs would form around their favorite fighter and attend their every bout, which I guess... You didn't really want to get too far into being a gladiator fan.
Because one day he's going to get it from a lion or something.
Yeah, his career was probably shorter than an NFL running back.
Yeah,
so.
Right. And it wasn't his knees that gave out.
A gladiator who entertained the crowd, though, could earn a fortune. They were the model of muscular masculinity, and everything was desirable down to their bodily fluids. So, gladiator sweat was collected and sold to whoever wanted it.
Ugh.
And why would you want a delicious bottle of gladiator sweat?
To bathe your testicles in it before lovemaking?
It was used for cosmetics, for lending a youthful vigor to the skin, and also giving you that rager that you've always wanted.
Do you just apply it topically? Or?
The Romans, being fond of cleanliness, had a special tool which could be used to collect the sweat. And bath servants would scrape the skin of it with a strigil, which removed the sweat and the grime. Wiping this against a bottle would leave you with a container of gladiator essence that you could sell.
Ugh.
Taking gladiator sweat was seen as a type of sympathetic magic. Gladiators were objects of sexual desire for many Roman women, so if you smell...
What, do you put a dab behind your ear?
Uh-huh,
is that gladiator sweat?
Is that Maximus?
But that's the same thing as pheromones,
yeah,
right?
I mean, they're probably not wrong on that too much. I just... They weren't following the science of it in the same way.
Right, it was more of a folklore.
The legendary lover Casanova... He had a secret ingredient he used to fulfill all his amorous desires. When he sat down to eat, he would add some grated ambergris to his chocolate mousse.
Ambergris.
Yeah, you probably may have heard of ambergris before. It's a very, very expensive ingredient, used mostly in perfumes.
Oh, it's from a whale vomit.
Correct. Others also agreed that ambergris would be added to hot chocolate, would add life to your body. And of course, what is ambergris? It's a waxy substance excreted by sperm whales, primarily through defecation, but sometimes through vomiting. And it's worth a fortune if you can find some. It's not, because it's illegal for most of you people to actually hold it.
It could wash up on the shore somewhere.
Doesn't matter. It's illegal.
It came out of a whale's ass. How could it be illegal?
Because of the fact that they were so intent on trying to figure, because they're still not 100% sure where it comes from.
They use a lot in perfumes and fragrances and makeup.
They think it's vomited or defecated. There's nobody that's actually watched a whale produce this, so they're not 100% sure where it comes from. And they didn't want people to go in out there and just stabbing sperm whales to death until they try to collect this. So they made it illegal to own it. Ambergris was and still is used in the most expensive perfumes to make them last longer, as well as imparting its own unique aroma. It used to be derived from hunting sperm whales, but today it's mostly found washed up on beaches. If you do stumble upon it, there are people that will pay high money for it, but like I said, you got to kind of do it on the down low because...
Yeah, you got to know someone at Chanel, you know.
A study, though, did test that amberine, a component of ambergris, on rats found that in males it was a sexual stimulant. So
really?
All that little bit of whale vomit.
Just a little grated, lightly grated like a Parmesan cheese. Just
over his chocolate mousse. Yeah, he put it all over his chocolate. Or you mixed it in your hot chocolate.
To kill the taste?
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure you weren't just gnawing on a huge chunk of ambergris. One, because it's super expensive.
Yeah, I don't think it tastes good either.
The way it almost sounds like a truffle. Hey, most of the time, you're not putting a lot of truffle on stuff.
No, very powerful.
It's so powerful, it overruns most stuff. Spanish fly. You've seen it right there on the counter next to some kratom.
Yeah,
and a switchblade.
Guy I knew in high school, his brother's girlfriend killed herself in the stick shift of his car because he gave her one. Remember that joke?
It is probably the most famous of the aphrodisiacs. Since ancient times, it's been used to get people in the mood. The Roman historian Tacitus, he accused Empress of Livia of using it on other people to make them commit sexual indiscretions. The problem is that the real Spanish fly is actually more likely to kill a person than it is to make them horny.
Really?
Spanish fly is made of crushing the bodies of blister beetles. The beetles contain cantharidin. When pestered by predators, the beetles release this as a defense mechanism. It is this chemical that causes the blisters, which give the beetles their name, but is also the most sought-after part of the beetles for the aphrodisiac. Spanish fly can cause men to suffer from priapism,
yeah,
a painfully long-lasting erection. So, basically,
all I gotta do is drown a lizard in my pee. I got that covered. Mm-hmm,
yeah, you just got a couple lizards, a bottle of pee, yeah. You're good to go.
I've got some pee standing by, and there's plenty of lizards in my yard.
The Kama Sutra.
Well, wait a second. If you had a four-hour erection and one wouldn't go away and it was very painful, and then you had to urinate, you had to be pretty good about aiming to collect that.
Well, that's why you keep the bottles. You keep spare bottles just in case.
Oh,
it doesn't need to be fresh urine.
I just thought like sending your wife out with a jar. A little further, honey. No. Over there. A little further out. Oh.
Hold on. Let me see. I'm going for distance. So,
Don't waste any of it.
The Kama Sutra, that book that a lot of people would put on their coffee table, but then also have to hide it because of, all those fun little positions
yeah.
That one, you got to be able to be very limbered up for. Like, you got to stretch.
Like the lotus flies, bloom flower or whatever.
Yeah. The one with your legs at 90 degrees, her leg is at 145, your left hand's on blue, hers is on red.
Right. Yeah.
It's not merely a list of extraordinary sexual positions that only should be attempted by trained professionals. It contains advice on the art of love and pleasure in many forms. It was written by an Indian monk in the 3rd century and covers pretty much every topic related to relationships you could imagine, including aphrodisiacs. The last chapter of the Kama Sutra reveals that milk is among the best foods for sex. No.
What do you mean? Before you drink it? For an aphrodisiac effect?
Yeah, warm and sweet milk mixed with various other ingredients. I don't know about you. I just
warm milk makes you go to sleep.
Yeah. Also, it's just not something I want on my stomach before love making.
Yeah.
Just some warm milk
splashing around.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you don't like your, warm milk though, you can also even offer them goat testicles boiled in milk.
All right. I'd rather have that. I think.
Yeah.
poached goat testicle.
Can I offer you a poached goat testicle today?
Was it poached in milk? I hope so.
Of course, the author of the Kama Sutra, like the Greeks, he also seemed to believe in some sort of synthetic magic. They also were really big on garlic in the bedroom.
I don't get that. I'm against garlic in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Or onions, anything I can smell like that.
Perhaps the most unusual aphrodisiac was it's a plant called ashwagandha. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's a member of the deadly nightshade family. People talk about it for they were talking about using it for sleeping, were they not? I think that's what
ashwagandha,
it was
talking about. Yeah, but, it had some other property to it.
It's also known as the poison gooseberry.
Oh.
Which doesn't sell really well when you're at the local CVS.
Ashwagandha.
If that isn't enough, though, the Indian name actually translates to the smell of a horse, thanks to the fact that it smells like horse urine.
There you go. You can buy ashwagandha in the health food store. Nature's Made.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say it had something to do with like relaxing and getting to sleep.
Yeah. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects.
The artichoke.
Love artichokes.
It's a messy food.
It's a pain to eat, and it takes a long time to cook it. And then, you know, you eat the leaves, and you get down and you got to get the hair away. Mm. But once you get to the heart, man, oh.
It's delicious. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, the legend of the artichoke begins, as so many Greek myths, with the god Zeus having an affair. This guy, he did everything, as everything, dressed as everything. One day, the god spotted a girl named Cynara and decided he simply had to have her.
What was her name?
Cynara.
Cynara.
Zeus whisked her away to Mount Olympus and made her a goddess. Despite her new position, she returned regularly to Earth to see her friends. When Zeus found out, he was not happy. He punished her by transforming her into the artichoke.
Ah, damn.
The relationship between artichokes and sex for the Greeks remained, with experts suggesting that eating artichokes would make you not only have sex, but produce male children.
Oh.
It was in the 17th century, though, that Sweden artichokes were used in aphrodisiac. In this case, though, it was not men seeking to make themselves more potent, but the wives. A wife who felt her husband was not doing his duty by her might begin feeding him artichokes as a way of turning his attentions back to the conjugal bedroom.
Hmm.
This next one I love because if it actually worked, like every fast food place, Taco Bell, restaurant, a sweet tomatoes restaurant, people would be just banging like crazy, and that's the lettuce.
Lettuce?
Yep. To the ancient Egyptians, there was nothing more arousing than lettuce. For 3,000 years, the humble vegetable had a central role in the society as an aphrodisiac. The Egyptian god Min was responsible for reproduction, as his appearance was a constant erection.
Really?
Yep.
What did you have to do with the lettuce?
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay.
One of the things he most enjoyed was lettuce. So you take your advice from the guy that's always rocking one. So he would also be depicted with a long lettuce near him, and his priests would carry them in religious processions. The long lettuce seems to remind the Egyptians of the most striking attribute of the god. You gotta think of romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
Like just a stalk of romaine lettuce.
Is that what it's about?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Others have suggested the white sap of lettuce is a reminder of something else as well.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Another Egyptian myth makes lettuce out to be a sexual plant. In a battle for dominance between Horus and Set, Horus managed to trick Set into finishing on a lettuce, which Set later actually eats it.
Okay.
Apparently, to ancient Egyptians, this constituted as a victory on Horus's part. So.
Because he made another guy eat his...
Yeah, he made another dude ookie cookie.
That's the first one ever. Oh, my God.
Of the relatively few Anglo-Saxon texts which have survived today, several deal with romantic matters and aphrodisiacs, which may help things along. Two medical texts are perhaps the most revealing. In Bald's Leech Book, his guide to various cures tell how the same plant can have two different effects on the libido. If one is too lustful, boil agrimony in foreign ale. Drink it, or let him or her drink it at night, fasting. If one is unlustful, boil the same plant in some milk, then you make the person lustful. Boil it in ewe's milk.
Ewe's, yeah.
Water agrimony, horse parsley, and the plant that is called the Fornet's Hand. It's a type of orchid. An old English translation of a medical text explains how to use various animal parts to spur on the lust. To arouse the desire of a woman, mix the gall of a buck goat with incense and with the seed of nettles, and rub it on your junk before going to bed. To carry out the desire of a man, take the gall of a boar and rub it again on the male genitalia, and he will have a great lust.
The gallbladder of a what? Of a...
Yeah.
Of an animal.
Of a boar.
You get a boar, or you get that at the butcher, or
you gotta go down to the local butcher, like, hey, you got any boar gall?
Oh, you're getting around, you're getting, getting on tonight, are you? Okay. Maximus? Okay, see you later. Ugh. You just rub it on there, huh?
And then there's, finally, Avicenna. Or, also better known as Abu Ali al-Hasusan ibn Sina.
Mm.
He's one of the greatest philosophers of the Islamic tradition.
Ah.
I don't know if you guessed that.
No.
He was both a doctor and an influential thinker in many academic areas. Among his medical works can be found a recipe for aphrodisiac cake.
Any kind of cake?
Well, specifically a recipe for it. If you're thinking you're going to enjoy some red velvet cake.
I'm not going to run down and get
some black forest cake. Yeah. Something really dark chocolate.
Soccer
sexy.
Tort, maybe.
The recipe is as follows. Take the brains of 50 birds and doves.
50.
the yolks of 20 birds, 10 yolks of spring chicken eggs, the juice of pounded and crushed lamb meat, roasted onions and carrots, and the immense amount of butter. I mean, probably doesn't...
There's no flour or grain or anything there? Well, sounds like a meat cake.
More like a meat cake, but also it doesn't sound terrible.
No.
I mean, I don't know what 50 bird brains would taste like.
Yeah, why don't you mix it with some eggs? It's kind of like a quiche, perhaps.
You are making like a lamb quiche, because he uses the term immense amount of butter. You bake it into a cake and enjoy with some wine.
Ah.
Later Jewish thinker Maimonides, he was inspired by this said cake to create his own aphrodisiac pastry. He decided not to include the bird brains, though, and just served it to a patient. And apparently, it did the trick. Got him going again.
Really?
So.
Without the bird brains?
Yeah, you can take the bird brains out. So if you look around your house, you're just not feeling it
fresh
tonight,
out of bird brains, honey.
You can get the yolk of 20 birds, 10 yolks of spring chickens, the juice of pounded and crushed lamb meat, roasted onions, carrots, and an immense amount of butter. And just cook that all up and enjoy your entire weekend in bed.
And in the bathroom, I would imagine. When we return, your blue jeans are killing Mother Nature. The Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Well, is there nothing that we do in our day-to-day lives, the most common things, the most common articles, items, just really breaks your heart when you find out that you're destroying the environment and you didn't even know? Scientists from the Guangdong University of Technology have analyzed the life cycle of a pair of Levi's jeans, from growing the cotton to their eventual disposal. They found some jeans were worn only 7 times, earning them the classification of fast fashion, then produced 11 times more CO2 than jeans worn more often. You following the science? Because wearing a pair of jeans creates 2.5 kilograms of CO2, the equivalent of driving a petrol car 6.4 miles. To see how fast fashion jeans affect the environment, the researchers analyzed the lifestyle of a pair of 501s from raw cotton to their disposal by incineration. I always incinerate. I don't know about you.
No, you have to.
Yeah. During the product's lifetime, they discovered that the jeans had a carbon footprint of 95 to 99% larger than traditional jeans, which were worn over 120 times. I don't get that. So you bought some jeans, you bought them, you wore them 11 times, and then you decided you're done with those jeans? Who buys a pair of jeans and wears them 11 times? And then you said, oh, got to get rid of these.
Nobody I know.
You're supposed to never even wash your jeans. But I would, I'm sane about this. I've had enough discussions about washing jeans on this program. It would seem to me that the longer you kept the jeans, the more CO2 would be an issue, because you're using water either, and you're drying them in something that's electric or gas, and you know. But changing fashion trends induce people to purchase clothing frequently and use them short-lived. Following the latest trends, that gives it the qualification of being a fashion, fast fashion. They're such the and the overconsumption and such. I don't have a single pair of jeans I would consider to be a fast fashion pair of jeans. The total carbon footprint is 48% less for jeans that you wear all the time. Researchers analyzed the lifetime carbon emissions of a single pair of Levi's 501s. They found They are only worn 7 times on average. I don't even know what.
How could you only wear?
Maybe in China, that's the way they get down. At Guangdong. And because of transports, the fashion's transport cost, carbon emissions related to making the jeans, water used to grow the cotton, the picking of the cotton, the manufacturing of the clothes, and the textile factories. La, 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 la. Fast fashion brands release new collections 25 times faster than traditional fashion brands, leading to a shorter fashion cycle and hyper consumption. This is just an article telling you to wear your jeans forever. Right?
Who wants that? This isn't Big Gene. Big Gene wants you getting more jeans.
Right. I mean, I have a lot of jeans. I have a few pair, but for a long time, I just got fatter and fatter, and I'd have to get bigger jeans. But I have jeans that I've had for 15 years, 12 years. And, every once in a while I wash them, you know? This is a hope we can help this lady, this woman, young lady. She, like a lot of people these days, tough economic times, there are a lot of 20-somethings living at home. Here's her story. Well, that's not her story. This is her story. I'm an adult living at home with my parents for financial reasons. They're in their late 60s, early 70s. My father has been watching pornography in shared spaces in the home on his phone on mute. But I can see. I first noticed this happening at night when he thought everyone had gone to bed. My arriving downstairs would result in a furtive jump and him hastily putting the phone down. It's now increased to include times when he's alone in separate rooms during the day. I also need to log out of my streaming services for the family television due to unwanted recommendations resulting from a mysterious watch history. I keep track of the devices logged on. I can tell that these entries came from the television in the living room during the day. I wonder if he's just lonely. I've also observed an increase in him looking at women in the street. That just may be noticing more due to hypervigilance. I'm starting to feel extremely uncomfortable in my own home, feeling the need to loudly announce my arrival into a room out of fear of what I might stumble on. I'd like to find a way to broach the subject and gently suggest that these activities would be better confined to a private space. But I don't want to shame him. If it's caused by loneliness or something lacking in his life, I don't want to make things worse. I did try to talk to my mother about it, but the conversation was shut down.
Well, there was a couple statements in there that already, I hate this person, where they're like, oh, I'm living with my parents because of financial reasons, but I'm afraid to move around in my own home. It's not your home. It's your parents' home.
You're right.
If your dad wants to watch porn in every room in that house, he paid for that house.
And she says shared spaces. Anywhere you are in that house, you're sharing that house. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have his dong out flogging away,
yeah,
right?
He's got it on mute. It's not like it's playing full blast.
Your dad is at home in his own home. He probably didn't want you watching him watch porn. He'd
honestly
rather be alone.
It's probably him. He's like, if I keep watching porn in all the rooms, maybe they'll get out of this damn house and get their own place. So I keep logging in their Cinemax and turning on all the skin flicks I can find on there.
This doctor says you were being exposed to your father's sexuality in ways that you shouldn't be. There is, of course, a generation of young people now who can't afford to live independently, and this is probably an issue both ways for many. First thing to do is rule out neurological reasons. However, unlikely, it's important to rule out cognitive changes connected with aging. as this might contribute to reduced impulse control. So a trip to the doctor may be in order. Might not be easy. I appreciate neither is it your responsibility to facilitate it, but if you're approaching it from a health point of view, your mother may help. Are there any other symptoms like forgetfulness or confusion or blah? Yeah, Dad, I'm taking you to the doctor because you're watching porn all the time and I've got a problem with it.
Get out of my house.
See you later.
I mean, the fact that this person wrote to a doctor about this, this is your parent. That you're living on their place. If it, your dad wants to watch porn in the kitchen while he eats his cereal, then that's his right.
Yeah. And I don't think you need to be involved in your parents' intimate anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if your dad's in his 70s and he's standing out the front lawn with his robe open and leering at people. Yeah, you might want to talk to a doctor about that. Like, hey, maybe his cognitive decline's going down a little bit.
This guy suggests saying something like this, being calm and non-judgmental. And say something like, I've noticed you watching some adult things. I know it's your house, but I feel uncomfortable sometimes walking into the room you're in. Get out.
All right, that's fine. I'll make sure I turn it up on loud volume so when I'm watching, you don't have to walk in the room.
Yeah, if you hear, oh, yeah. At least I guess he is watching it on the TV while she's not around. This is motivation for you to get your own place.
Yeah.
Look at it like that. Or maybe be take a different approach. Say, maybe, I don't know if this woman's a prude, but maybe share with him a Brandy Love video. Send it to him in his text. Dad, thought you might like this. This looks like your kind of stuff. No, is that too much?
Well, I mean, you're right. That's a good one.
I wonder if he knows. He's got to know at this point, right?
Unless he does have some sort of, there could be a possibility he has some sort of dementia going on.
Makes you want to watch porn all the time?
Yeah, he's not aware so much of everything that's going on around him. Like, all he thinks is, I want to watch porn. I don't care who's in the house type of thing.
I'll say it again. He's not masturbating.
Yeah.
Maybe he does later. I don't know. Maybe, or how about this? Maybe get him an activity to do. Seems like he just sits around the house all day long. I don't know what kind of activity for an old man like that. Maybe you do something with him. Play some cards. Keep his mind off the porn. The title was, how can I stop my dad watching porn and is on his phone at home? You can't.
No, you can't.
I mean, there's no grandkids running around, right, that are going to accidentally stumble on a...
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like it's just...
Big Black Booty Revenge, Volume 4.
Oh, that's a good volume. I mean, it's no 3, but the sequels, really, you lose them after a while anyway.
Right. They're all the same thing, you know, but once you get to 80 or 90.
Well, it's normally, it's a lot like the Fast and the Furious series. Like once you get to 5, maybe the series reinvents
itself. They're not going
to
do anything different.
Well, it reinvents itself a little bit.
I'd like to ask Dan Diaco about this. There's a process called internal bra surgery where women in their 70s no longer need to wear bras at all thanks to the... It's a de-sagging internal surgery. It's got a bit of a catch to it. It involves some pig skin at some point, but it's not on the outside. It naturally lifts up the boobs, stops them from sagging. They use biodegradable meshes inserted into the chest. They act as a scaffold for the development of tissue that acts as an internal bra. Like they push the boobs up and give them a natural perky appearance, like a hammocks.
Yeah.
Right?
Natural boob hammocks.
It's this guy that's doing them, he's had a ton of these. It's so successful for women, that older women are just not wearing bras at all. I have an old friend I was telling about earlier. She's 84, and she's got a magnificent, they've obviously been done. She doesn't look her age at all either. But when you see a woman that's, you know, obviously older than me, you don't expect them to have like a
magical perkiness.
24-year-old's BC cups, you know. And I remind her every time I see her. This guy said, I got patients in their 70s. We've done breast lifts on. They don't need to wear a bra at all. Other aspects, Warren, the name of the procedure is misunderstood. It isn't guaranteed to replace a bra. Patients are often advised to still wear a supportive bra to preserve the effects of the surgery. Yeah, you don't want to go blowing that thing out. Then it's all over the place.
Well, you don't want like a... It's like a tire. When you blow one, there are, it wobbles. You got, now it's got like a wonky eye, like it's wandering away.
I've heard of lifts, right? A boob lift. I didn't know it. This is, I guess, different. I'm trying to. This didn't come with a photo, did it?
It did.
It did.
Not like a. It was like more of a diagram.
They are not without risk. The tissue that grows around the mesh can become infected. If it does, the entire structure will need to be replaced. Depending on the nature of the procedure, like size of maybe any implants being added or how many previous augmentations they've had, there may be a risk. It's only cost $6,000. There you go. These old ladies, you know, and yeah, they got around the garden club and the country club and all. Oh, yeah.
I see you got
what do they call the internal bra, huh? Yeah. If you got it, you know,
go for it.
This woman says, you know, she's undergoing the procedure. She did it years ago. She was ecstatic. She dropped from a 36D to a C. So she feels much better about dating now and in the future. She's comfortable about being naked now. In fact, she says, I'd go without a bra every day. We don't really have things that, I mean, men's boobs can sag a little bit, but that's a different deal altogether.
We don't have an internal testicle hammock or anything like that.
I hear women go, oh, I'm sagging, or I feel like I'm starting to sag, or whatever. You've never heard a guy go, hey, man, I don't know about you fellas, but get my age, I'm starting to sag down there a little bit. I'm worried about how I look aesthetically.
Yeah, I can't help it. Keep slipping out of my boxer shorts.
I just don't feel good naked anymore.
Can't hang around the cat anymore.
I read the headline of the story, and I instantly closed my legs. Man, 76, bitten by toilet rat. I'm like, oh, my God. And hospitalized with organ failure due to a bacterial infection. But he wasn't bit, thank God, on his balls or his butt. He was bitten on two fingers when he's trying to grab the rat and get it out of the toilet.
Man, he went barehanded grabbing the rat.
You know... I wouldn't grab a toilet rat like that, but a pet store rat, you'd pick it up by the tail
I'm going for some sort of net or a bag.
Not
barehanded, a toilet rat.
Hell no. He went to the ER, got some basic wound care, a tetanus booster, and then went home. About 8 days later, he was back at the ER, suffering from fever, headache, abdominal pain, had been going on for 3 days. His heart rate was high, his blood pressure low, kidneys were damaged. He had signs of multi-organ dysfunction and sepsis. The bite wound had mostly healed. Doctors thought it may be something to do with it. They ran some tests, and yes, he had leptospirosis, a bacterial infection transmitted to humans by animals just like rats, and it could be fatal. What did the rat, I know it had to have his or some, it's got to have fecal and human waste. It's covered in it.
His entire mouth was full of rat urine, apparently. It was full of urine when he bit him. Like he had just swigged some like a mouthwash and then bit the guy.
Oh, there's pee in there too?
Yeah, there's pee in there.
Oh, I'm definitely not reaching in there. Even if my phone fell in there and it's full of pee, I wouldn't reach in there.
Honestly, I'm probably just pouring bleach in there and just slamming that lid shut. Hope for the best for that rat.
Yeah, or a knife. Or I don't know. Stab that little bastard.
I mean, that's how you end up losing a knife to a toilet rat.
Let me ask you this. Does toilet rat come from the sewer?
Yes.
And it knows, because it's got to come from the main sewer, up the home's sewage line, split out. What is he looking for? Daylight shining through a toilet bowl?
Probably.
They just know.
Yeah, he was just heading on his way out.
Oh, that's frightening.
Yeah, sit down at your toilet at 3 a.m. with the lights off.
No. Oh, I don't live in a rat. This guy's in Canada. And he had a toilet rat. They're known to be all over sewers in big cities. That's terrifying. Did they know that that's a way out of the sewer? Is into someone's bathroom?
I don't know if they know specifically if it's a way out.
Go ahead. Let's crawl up this tube here.
Yeah, I've already made it this far.
Because they're crawling in foul filth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're crawling through, just like Andy Dufresne.
That's why he bit that guy, because he was looking for freedom.
Could he just flush him right back down?
Well, he's going to skitter around the bowl. It's not like, it's Canada. I bet you he's got those damn low-flow toilets, too.
Oh, yes. It only has a number one. Let it mellow.
Yeah, it barely has enough to get the, it's a three flusher normally anytime you... You're in there with the lid down, just trying to flush it over and over again, trying to get that rat down there.
The picture of the rat is like it's a file photo. I don't know how they came up with the file. It's a soaking wet rat coming out of sitting on a toilet seat. I'm certain it's not that rat, but
I do love though that was in a file photo.
Yeah, it is a file. It's his file photo. Yeah.
The guy
rat on toilet seat. Yeah. Wet rat on toilet seat, please.
Rat on. Oh, good. We had one.
Oh, he's going to be better. He had multiple organ failure, but they got him. He's been in the ICU. He's been out of the ICU for a couple of days.
I'm glad he's not going to die to toilet rat. It's the worst thing to put in your obituary.
Oh, my God. How'd Phil die again? Oh,
toilet rat
got him. speaking of urine, dude on an airplane, Sydney, Australia, to Air New Zealand from Auckland. They're waiting on the tarmac. If you've ever been in one of these situations where they have a screw up at the gate, you could sit there. I mean, there are people making laws about how long they can keep you on a tarmac. He's in the window seat, 15-year-old girl in the middle, that girl's mother on the aisle or something like that, or a 15-year-old girl on the aisle in the you're sitting there. They don't want you to get up because if the plane starts moving, you fall on your ass. They got the sign on. They remind you, don't stand up. We're going to. And so the guy had to pee. And he had a cup. And he filled it up. She heard the sound of pee in a cup. She said the man was obviously quite drunk. And spilled some urine on a flight attendant as he left the plane. Urine, please. And here's the thing. It wasn't a crime. Because the officers removed him from the plane because he had urinated into the cup while in his seat. It wasn't a crime to splash a little bit on the attendant, apparently.
No, that's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's in the handbook.
From time to time, you may be splashed with a man's urine. And those cups... There's no way. Those little cups they serve you a drink.
Yeah, how do you?
I need six of those.
Yeah, how do you tap it off? Yes. I don't know about you, but that cup's not is going to get overflowed.
And you had to really be leaning forward and hanging over the edge of that seat. And the window seat, you're all cramped in there. Oh, God, I hope it didn't have a pea smell to it.
Good thing they had the asparagus dinner tonight. Yeah,
sorry. That's asparagus. Do you mind grabbing my... luggage from overhead. Thank you. Hold this for a minute. All right, we'll return. Our buddy Movie Man Mike will join us. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Movie Man Mike joins us once a week on Fridays to kind of give you a Hollywood heads up. You can read his reviews in Newsmax magazine, at thefederalist.com, and in Epic Times. How are you, man? What's going on?
I'm right as rain, buddy. Can't wait for the weekend. Perfect weather. Getting some blue crabs tomorrow night.
Oh, you know? Blue crabs.
Yeah.
Where are you finding blue crabs in Ocala?
10 miles down the road in Ocala. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah,
the weather's got to be awesome there. It's great here.
Yeah, it's a little windy, but all is right with the world.
Excellent.
And lots of good movies. Got a bit of news.
All right.
I don't know if you've been following this, the controversy behind Deadpool and Wolverine.
I know that there's, I don't know if it's a controversy, but I know that they've done some cross character promotion stuff.
Well, no, this is straight up controversy. They turned in a rough cut to Bob Iger in March, and he wanted to do some reshoots as to include diversity, equity, and inclusion into the story.
They're doing a movie together?
No, the movie was done. They turned it in. Bob Iger looked at it and said, hey, we don't have enough diversity in this movie. You got to do some reshoots. And Ryan Reynolds, who was also the producer, said, go pound sand. I'm not going to do that. This is my movie. And no, I'm not going to do it.
So where does this end? I thought Iger was brought in there to mop up all that DEI nightmare.
No, it's the complete opposite. He came in to inject more of it.
Huh.
Then what they wanted Ryan Reynolds to do was to do 5 appearances on The View to be interviewed by Joy Behar.
Oh, God.
In the hopes of helping their sagging ratings.
Oh, to help The View out.
Yeah. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Good for him, man.
Said, well, we can't get you. We're going to get Hugh Jackman, of course, who plays Wolverine. And Hugh Jackman said, no. So yeah. Joy Behar now is suing Ryan Reynolds.
What?
Yes.
For real?
For real.
Sue you for what? Not coming on their show?
Not saving her fat ass career. I don't know what. Just go to YouTube, put in Joy Behar, Ryan Reynolds, and there's a 10-minute video that goes over the whole story. It's screaming.
Wow.
But a bully for Ryan Reynolds. I mean,
yeah.
When Disney bought Fox, one of the deals was, hey, if you're going to do another Deadpool movie, it's got to be rated R. I'm not going to do a PG-13 Deadpool movie.
Right.
In fact, they took Deadpool 2 and they did a PG-13 re-release, and it sucked. It absolutely sucked. You take out profanity and violence from those movies and they're horrible.
Yeah.
You have to have it. So I just applaud Ryan Reynolds. That's
so the movie is both the guys are in it. So both characters are in it. Deadpool and the Wolverine.
Yeah,
they
changed the title from Deadpool 3 to Deadpool and Wolverine.
All right.
So that's the official name. Comes out June 24th, and I'll be interested to see what kind of reaction it gets. But anyway.
Let me ask you this: If the head of the studio phones down to the producer, which is Ryan Reynolds, about a movie he's also starring in, and says, do this, and we need more this and DEI, and Ryan Reynolds tells him to shove it, are there consequences to that? Or does Iger get to go in and make he couldn't make it without reshoots, right? So what happens at this point? Does Ryan Reynolds win this argument?
They need him more than he needs them.
Yeah.
They know it. These movies have taken over $700 million each. They're in the top 3.
Deadpool R-rated. Is one of the funniest characters in movies.
In movie history.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Yeah, and Disney is not shaking much at the box office these days.
Yeah, true.
And they need this movie, and Iger is going to blink.
That's awesome. I love it.
It is. Did you ever see the talented Mr. Ripley from 1999 with Matt Damon?
Yeah, I do remember seeing it a lot. I don't remember recall much of it, though.
He played a con artist who ends up meeting a guy in Italy and assuming his identity and then whacking him and then trying to dodge the consequences. Okay. It's an adaptation of a novel of the same name. And there were four subsequent novels after that. So when I heard they were making it into a limited series on Netflix, I was like, yes, they're going to take all five books and they're going to put them into this 8-hour miniseries and it's going to be great and I'm going to love it. And that's not what happened. They ended up taking the first book that was a 2-hour movie and turned it into an 8-hour series. Ooh. Which means there's a lot of padding. It goes slow. In this 8-hour miniseries, Shannon, there is an hour showing people walking up and down steps.
Okay? Why?
Because they needed to stretch it out, I guess. And it's in black and white, which I like. If it's done right, it looks great. They got a really good cast.
How many hours are people walking up and down stairs? An hour?
Within the 8 hours of the entire show, there's an hour. I started counting after the first scene. I'm like, they're taking an awful long time showing this guy walk upstairs. So I took out the stopwatch on my cell phone.
Holy cow.
I just kept figuring it went like an hour and 1 minute and 5 seconds. And that's it. And it's not like they're walking upstairs talking. They're just showing people walking upstairs and downstairs.
Are they repeated shots or are they all different?
They're all different, but they're all variations on the same thing.
All right.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play?
Right.
And so what you essentially get is a very stretched out version of the movie. And it's a different ending. I don't want to say it's a bad ending. It's just a different ending.
Okay.
But I would highly recommend seeing the Matt Damon movie instead of the series. That said, I'll give it 3 out of 5. Only because it looks great and the acting's good. The critics are at 89%. Audiences is 82%. And this is on Netflix. It started yesterday.
All right.
Coup de chance. This is the first of two French movies coming out this week. And the only reason I bring these up, because this is Woody Allen's 50th feature.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing that he's made that many movies. Most of them suck. This one doesn't. And the reason is, I went back to the beginning of this century, every time Woody Allen makes a movie in a different country or someplace outside of New York City, it turns out to be a great movie. Match Point, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Blue Jasmine, Midnight in Paris, they're all great movies because he's got like new blood. He gets into a new location and he comes up with something good. And this is and it's in French. It's not only set in France, it's in French.
Sacre bleu.
Absolutely. And it's a mystery thriller, and it's a lot like Match Point. There's a love triangle between a married woman and a single guy, and things get out of hand, and there's mayhem. They gave away the ending a little too early, but I still liked it a lot. Again, it's called Coup de Chance. It's in theaters. 4 out of 5 for me, 84% with the critics, 67% with audiences. Most of the book's complaints were that it was in French. Well, there's subtitles.
Right.
Okay. Another one that's in French and English is called The Beast. And I had to convince a couple of editors, because they don't like doing horror at the Epic Times. And they just thought that it had the title The Beast. It's about horror. No, it's not about horror. But it is about time travel where two people, same actors, same names, have lives in 1910, 2014, 2044. And it hopscotches around. It's very hard to follow. I'm not going to hide the fact that it's a very difficult movie to follow. I watched it twice. I still didn't figure it out completely. But it's got this actress, her name is Léa Seydoux, who is like the current French It girl. She made her first appearance in Inglourious Basterds. She was one of the three farm girls that Christoph Waltz visited at the beginning of the movie. Very lovely woman. And again, it's artsy, it's long, it's confusing. But if you like that actress and you like that kind of movie, I compared it to other things like Blade Runner and Mulholland Drive. So take that with a grain of salt. 4 out of 5 for me, 86% with critics. No audience score yet.
Where is this, theater only?
Theaters only, yes. Called The Beast. This movie pissed me off to no end. Coming up here, it's a documentary. The critics are at 91%. Audiences are at 92%. It's called Against All Enemies. And again, it's a documentary about soldiers who are returning home from service overseas in the desert, who join groups that are affiliated with right-wing militia or Proud Boys or what have you, and how this is an existential threat to American security. As you can guess, this was probably made, it was definitely made by some leftists.
Oh, yeah.
Who treat the January 6th thing as a 9/11 and the Black Lives Matter riots as peaceful protests, which is why it's got such a high score with the critics. It's narrated by Peter Coyote, who's a pretty good narrator. He's done a lot of stuff, particularly with Ken Burns. And it's got this solemn, reverential tone to it. And I just wanted to punch this guy in the face. Every time they come on the screen, they're talking about how dangerous conservatives are to this country. My blood boils.
It just focuses on servicemen returning from overseas?
Yes, returning servicemen who, I don't know, they're risking their lives to save your pathetic ass. And yeah. All you can do is piss all over them because they have some extracurricular activities. God damn it, maybe, man. 0 out of 5 for me, which is rare. 91% critics, 92% audiences. And I want to check this audience score.
Right. What the hell?
Well, I want to check because I have a feeling these are all planted reviews because I didn't see a single verified review, meaning they paid to see it. There's a ticket, you know, because Fandango is hooked up through Rotten Tomatoes. If you buy a ticket on Fandango and you're also a member of Rotten Tomatoes to, you know, give audience opinions, they can tell if you bought a ticket or not. So that's one I'm starring for next week to see what actually happens. Another one that's not quite as bad, but it's really far-fetched. It's called The Greatest Hits, which is kind of a good title because it's about music. No artist greatest hits as such, but this girl and this guy are dating. The guy dies. It's sad and everything. And she finds out if she starts playing particular songs, she gets transported back in time. She doesn't have memories of past events. She actually relives them. I'm like, oh, okay. This is a really stupid ass premise. You can listen to a song and go back to a time in your life when your dead boyfriend is alive and you're going to try to save him. It didn't make any sense. She goes back in time and she ends up meeting a new guy each time who is, you know,
better than her guy.
Well, he's Asian and he's more talkative and they don't fight as much. So you can see where this thing is headed, and it just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why it did.
Does she only stay in the other, that time while the song's playing, or
yes?
Oh, okay.
Yes,
that's weird.
But they're playing snippets of the song, and then the song stops, and then it picks up again, and then when it's over, she's back in the present day. It's stupid as hell. I like the soundtrack because it was a lot of different songs. It wasn't like from one genre. There was, you know, classic rock, there was soul, there was disco, there's 90s stuff. So the musical choices were good. It was just the whole premise bothered me. 2 out of 5, 48% with critics, and nothing yet for the audiences. And this is on Hulu only, a site that I've never actually visited. The big action movie this week is called Monkey Man, which has nothing to do with the Rolling Stones song at all. It's got Dev Patel, who's an Indian actor who made his name as the lead character in Slumdog Millionaire. Best Picture winner from about 20 years ago that is one of the most overrated Best Picture winners in history.
I agree.
And this is his attempt. He wrote it. He directed it. He stars in it. And it might as well just be called John Wick Does India.
It's an Indian John Wick. I like John Wick.
Yeah, it's an Indian, you know, Eastern Indian, not Native American Indian. And they even make the mistake of mentioning John Wick in the movie.
Oh, geez.
Like, hey, we're reminding you, you're watching an inferior version of this really great action movie. So it's just as violent. The fight scenes aren't as well choreographed. And it has a whole lot of DEI in it. There's a big scene in it with an Indian trans woman priestess.
All right.
Yes. Indian trans woman priestess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to make the libs real happy. Dev Patel is certainly good enough. I don't think he should have taken on three major roles, directing, writing, and acting all in the same movie, but he did. It's at three out of five for me, 85% with critics, nothing yet with audiences. But again, if you just want to go see a John Wick knockoff and don't have too many problems with seeing trans priestesses, this might be your movie. I was surprised at how much I like this next title. It's called The First Omen. This is the sixth movie in the Omen franchise and the first chronologically.
I always get The Omen confused with The Exorcist.
That's easy to understand.
Any relationship at all?
No.
All right.
The Exorcist and The Omen came out 3 years apart or 2 years apart in the 70s. I mean, when The Exorcist came out, it created a whole spawn of imitators. And, you know, you have an evil child, and it's the spawn of Satan, and it goes on to wreak havoc. And they made four of them. Yeah, they made four of them. And then they did a reboot about a couple years ago, and this one, again, is a prequel. Now, the problem is, if you've seen any of the Omen movies, you know what happens in the story. And they drop hints all the way through this one, what's going to happen in the future. So if you've already seen these movies, it's going to be a waste of time for you. But if you haven't seen The Omen or any of the sequels, it will work a lot better because it's fresh.
All right.
And like this movie Immaculate came out a couple of weeks ago with Sydney Sweeney. It's about a nun who gets knocked up and is going to have the devil's baby. So I would stick with Immaculate. Because, I mean, it's Sydney Sweeney, and she's naked in the movie, and that's a lot better.
Bingo.
So that's three out of five for me. 77% with critics, which is high for a horror movie, and nothing yet from audiences, and that is in theaters. And you mentioned this a few weeks ago, Strictly Confidential. This is the movie with Elizabeth Hurley.
Her son direction and a sex scene.
Yeah. And oddly enough, go figure it out. No screenings. I, again, searched high and low to find a distributor who could provide a screener and never got a reply. But I did watch the trailer and it looks like a really sleazy fashion commercial with sex. And they show two scenes of lesbian sex
with
Hurley? One of which included Elizabeth Hurley, 5% with critics, and that's four critics. And these are people who probably went to a theater last night to see it because as of last night at 9:30, there is no score, which is odd for a Thursday night and a movie coming out like that. And I did see a picture of her son, Damien, who, with just a little bit of makeup,
could be her,
like his mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's wearing a low-cut shirt. She's wearing a low-cut blouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be her.
He could be her, which I don't know if I'd be proud of or not, you know. But it's out there if you want to see it, Strictly Confidential. I remember for Monday you were talking, and today, about some guy in a casino who wants.
Walked out of there with $1.23 million after four big jackpots of the slots. Yeah.
Yeah, in the movie Casino from 1995. There's a scene where that actually happened. Well, I don't know if it actually happened, but it happens in the movie three times. And De Niro fires the guy.
Yeah, because it won't take the machine off the floor.
Right, exactly. And I didn't know it at the time, but the guy who was the slots manager was Joe Bob Briggs.
Yes, Joe Bob's. Joe Bob, big Dallas, Texas guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Joe Bob. All right. He used to have a little movie review thing on KTVT in Dallas.
Yeah, and he hosted a bunch of drive-in movie specials.
Yeah.
Really funny guy. Another caller called in, I believe it was Friday or Monday, who wanted to know something about the Cape Fear movies, and I couldn't quite understand what he was asking for, but there are two Cape Fear movies. One from 1962 stars Robert Mitchum and Gregory Peck as a guy who gets a rapist, played by Mitchum, who gets sent to jail for 14 years, and he comes out and he starts stalking the lawyer and his family. It's a lot closer to the source material, and again, it being 1962, it's not nearly as violent. And then in 1991, Martin Scorsese redid it with De Niro in the Mitchum role and Nick Nolte in the Gregory Peck role.
That was awesome.
And it was very awesome. It was violent as hell. They changed a couple of the factors in the movie. De Niro plays a sick puppy. Juliette Lewis plays the daughter of Nolte's character, who gets seduced by De Niro. And Jessica Lange plays his wife. And there's an interesting backstory to this, because Scorsese, this is the only remake he's ever done, and he wasn't really interested in it. It was originally supposed to be a Spielberg movie, and Spielberg produced it, but he just found the material to be too dark and violent, and they made a trade. At the time, Scorsese was working on a Holocaust drama,
Really?
And Spielberg says, well, I'll trade you. That was Schindler's List. So Spielberg ended up doing Schindler's List. Scorsese did Cape Fear. And everyone was happy. And you can see both of those movies on Vudu, Prime, and Apple. Next week, water cooler movie of the year, Civil War, directed by Alex Garland, starring Kirsten Dunst. I'm seeing it next week in Hot ATL.
What is the debut? And
it starts on Friday of next week.
Oh, I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the trailers. It's looking like a Bruce Willis movie. And then I'm reading some of the reviews. It played at a couple film festivals, South by Southwest last month. And everybody said it's not what the trailer looks like. So, okay. And this director, he did Ex Machina and Annihilation, two science fiction movies. And this is a very unusual kind of film for him to make. And he's British. So that's going to be the top pick for next week.
I can't wait. Thank you very much, buddy. Mike. Read Mike's reviews in Newsmax magazine at thefederalist.com and epictimes.com and get on board with Brand 25 Peppers at AOL.com if you want to get your hands on some of his renowned hot sauce. It's good stuff. All right, buddy.
All right.
Have a good one.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Shannon. See ya. Talk to you later. Bye.
Movie Man Matt. There we go. All right. Yeah, that's Civil War. Now I don't want to hear bad news about it. Well, it's not. It looks like as if it's a civil war happening in America.
Yeah, but I think more people are thinking it's going to be actiony, and I think that it's going to have its spots. But I think it's going to be more, like a cross-country road trip. For some of the things I've seen, because it follows a reporting crew going across the country, and it's more kind of that than it is.
Oh, the action. And, yeah. All right. When we return, you may have an office ass. It's real. It's tragic. The Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Thank you. Bad enough you gave everybody Rona too. I'm pretty sure Trump wasn't as bad as you, yeah, yeah. I don't understand how lips like you. How can they like you? Can't believe people just can't see the truth. How can they see the truth? They killing us right in front of our face like it's cool, yeah, yeah. If you don't like a country like that, you can move, yeah.
Vegas jackpot machine winner kept going back to the well, back to the well. There's a dude named Wayne Murray in Brooklyn, New York, who twice in 2 years won $10 million in separate scratch-off games. 1 year he won it, the next year he won it again. Now, a clerk at the H&A Gas and Convenience on Avenue H in Flatbush said Murray, he got one of his winning tickets. He, even though he's a multimillionaire, he still spends, guess how much he spends a day playing scratch-off lotto or lottery?
$100 a day.
$500 a day. He got that. He's got
the itch.
Got that monkey on his back. Still buying a lot of tickets, sometimes two or three times a day. He said he diversifies. He buys different types and tickets and finds more possibilities of winning. Sometimes he breaks evens, but he does lose a lot of money the way he plays. It's clear he thinks he's going to win more. He's very determined.
Well, what more can you win? That's that weird. That's the addiction right there. When,
yeah.
When the fact that you've won $2 million scratch offs, and your only day is like, I got to scratch off more. You need that high. You need that adrenaline rush, endorphins released by scratching that off and winning $20.
After the combined two winnings, it was after taxes and all that he left, he made about $12 million. And he said, I'm still buying tickets. He said, some of us just like to be discreet. I just want to be discreet. That's all. He lives in the same home and where he spent most of his life in Flatbush. His only splurge seems to be a $200,000 Range Rover he drives. He said, other than that, he's a very humble guy, not flashy. Down at the convenience store, scratch offs. We have a friend that gives us some scratch-offs every year for Christmas. You know, hey, some scratch-offs. And then they'll give it to you. Go ahead. I said, no, I'm not doing it while you're here.
Yeah, I know.
Because if I win something, I'll be compelled to share it with you. Let's get to these remarks, shall we?
Yes.
From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats, a pipeline of content in a commercial-free podcast form of this program there for God knows how long it goes back. Hit that little button that looks like a microphone at the bottom, and you can leave us a little message. Stay on topic.
Copperheads go after cicadas.
Okay.
So watch your step. Yeah, we're getting a new roof.
Congratulations. We don't get copperheads much down here. Big time in Georgia.
Hey guys, wondering when you think they might start holding people accountable for their actions, like Merrick Garland lately for his lying under oath and covering up the Hunter Biden investigation, and probably because it's going straight to the top. Just wondering what your thoughts are.
We are not going to see it in this administration, that's for sure.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
This is Tim calling from Fort Walton Beach, now living in Crestview. Thanks for being there, guys. Enjoyed you this morning, Shannon, on Bubba's show. Anyway, wonder what the average age is to Madonna's 3 hours late concert. I would bet you it's pretty much over 30.
Probably. I don't know how old those guys, it was like dudes that.
Yeah, I think they were in their 40s, 50s.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Hey, Bean's old whoop ass was brought up. Can we maybe mix in one of his songs just on a Friday, every Friday? That's usually when he is wound the tightest. Can't forget the legend.
Yeah, we might be able to work that into the Friday celebration. I don't know that we give up Crack by Biden, though. Pretty popular.
Hey, what if the two species of cicadas don't like each other and it ends up being like a war of the cicadas? That'd be awesome.
Turf war.
Well, they have to out one another, you know?
Oh, God.
All right, our contributor Sam has left 5 in a row. We know the rules. There's one that Heather wrote. This is the worst. Oh, my God, barf. Maybe we should start with that one. Or we should start with one.
Well, at least need the story to get to where we're going here.
As far as romance in the bedroom, after 40 years of pounding that muffin, it doesn't change. It looks the same, feels the same. And at 40 years of pounding that muffin, I pound it when I'm excited. No pill has to.
I don't need to hear him say it.
Yeah.
He can't be titillating in that way.
That this woman might be hotter than fire, I might get a little excited and take care of it. But if not, this is going to be no different than what it was.
Can't say the S word.
Yeah, you're out now.
Yeah, I'm done. You blew it, Sam. Jesus.
Hey, Shannon. It's driving in a convertible trying to leave you a message, guy. So, for aphrodisiacs, put a nice, sweet little spinner in front of me, have her naked, and I think that'll do the job every time.
Yep.
I told my daughter if she writes a letter to y'all, she's out of here. Does anybody know a good number for you all?
There's more Sam. So does Sam know the rules, man?
Yeah, they can.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, Brandy Love is so good. Oh, Brandy Love, it's a good Porsche. Oh, cool. Oh, Little Hung Low. Oh, am I recording? Oh, just not one Hung Low. Uncle Ted.
If there's a rat in the toilet, you shut the effing lid and you flush and then you run.
First, you do, you got to, he can get out of a, if you shut the lid on the toilet.
You got to put your foot down on top of it.
They get that little gap between the seat. Oh, my God.
I mean, his little face will be in there, but you.
The flat themselves, they crawl under a door. You got to, get the hell out of the house. It would be unadvisable to use a firearm in that situation. But something less lethal.
Hairspray and a lighter?
Yeah. Oh, then you got to deal with the smell. Ugh.
Tim from Fort Walton calling again, Crestview. And speaking of toilet rats, I was on a job one time remodeling a unit. I went to the bathroom to take a leak, and there's a rat swimming in there. Oh, I shut the lid on it. I didn't reach in and try to grab the thing. It certainly didn't bite me. Next morning, I came in, thing had drowned. I got tired of swimming. Anyway, be-doo, be-doo. Love you guys.
Toilet Rat Knife Fight is an awesome band name.
Yeah.
I might understand the thinking, but
behind trying to grab toilet rat is because you don't want toilet rat running around your house or your apartment or wherever. Just want to get that thing and get it out of your house. God, rodents are disgusting.
Ugh. That's true. You don't want to, you just want to, you don't care how either. You just want to get rid of it, kill it, whatever.
Yeah, the worst part of toilet rat when you slam that lid down is when you come back and toilet rat's not there anymore.
Maybe he would, if he came into the pee trap, he can go out to it, right?
Or you have no idea where he's at in your house.
Oh, he snuck out and he could be just.
It could be anywhere. Be right behind your towel rack.
Toilet rat up in your towels.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Airplane piss cup, also a good band name.
Yeah, could you hold this, please, real quick? Yeah, while I get another cup. Waitress, stewardess, another cup, please. Thank you.
No ice this time, please.
Shannon's a little bit older, so he might not know this, but Master Splinter was a rat that lived in the sewer and trained a gang full of mutant turtles. So that guy is actually lucky that a turtle didn't crawl up through his toilet and get his wing sliced off by a samurai sword.
Is that how the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came to be?
Correct.
A sewer rat?
Well, they got covered in the ooze, and he taught them kung fu.
The ooze?
Well, no. The ooze covered them, which mutated them. That's why
they were. What were they first?
They were turtles and a rat. He was a sewer rat, and then they were turtles, and they got covered in a ooze from a chemical corporation. And
the turtles became turtle people?
Yeah.
With arms and legs?
Yeah, teenage ones. It's right there in the name.
Before that, they were just teenage turtles.
Before that, they were just turtles, yeah.
Okay. All right. Trying to get the lowdown here.
I feel really bad for that toilet rat. It's not his fault he doesn't have any place to go. That man should have wrapped him up in a cashmere blanket or something soft like that and got him to safety. He is clearly looking for help. Organ failure, you know, karma. And then it got me thinking about a new business idea. A rat mesh. It goes down in the toilet, fits over that area. That's my new project.
Okay. But Kate, the dukes have to go somewhere.
Through the same mesh.
Unless you're shoving it down there with like a spoon or something to scrape it through the mesh.
Or you're pre-chewing it or something. I don't know. Yeah, where we are. There we are.
Did my man say that movie is in French? Come on now. This is Florida, dude. French are a bunch of sissies.
That's great.
Sorry for the second one today. Explain to me how Schindler's List is not as dark as Cape Fear. I'm really not getting that.
You're right. There's, I guess, violence, a lot of violence in Cape Fear, but my God, we're talking about Schindler's List here. Well, that's a bright and, airy movie. Good point.
Oh, poor Judy Stewart. She just can't quite get it right, can she?
Who's Judy Stewart?
No idea.
Judy Stewart. Heather, any idea who Judy Stewart is?
None. I thought you guys might know.
No, never heard of her.
Well, poor Judy Stewart.
Yeah. I mean, what happened to her?
Jimmy Stewart's daughter?
Something happened with Jimmy Stewart's daughter? You can't just drop a wildly off topic. Poor Phil Blankenburn. Hang it.
Are we talking about Judy Stewart, Canadian diver?
What happened? Anything happened to her?
No, I can't seem to find anything about her either.
If she took a head dive.
Well, she's 79 years old, so.
Oh, maybe she passed away.
There's a guy that won several times quite a bit of money, but not in the millions, but maybe like $600,000 at this junky little store near my house. And I go in there sometimes, but he's in there every time I'm in there and buying tickets. So it's definitely, it's a thing. I imagine it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, you think that, you know, if you have a, you know, one of these gambling apps that, you know, and their commercials, they always say, if you've got a gambling problem, call somebody, you degenerate. You think that the Apu at the Quickie Mart might have to say something to you after he sees you blow $500 a day on it.
Tex seems to think that he might have meant Jody Stewart or the traffic.
Oh.
Hey, there's a guy. Well, I'm glad I didn't waste my time and go see Madonna's concert, because I wouldn't have been able to make it for the early bird special. Dang it.
I think she's in Tampa tonight.
Huh?
I think she's in Tampa tonight.
Really?
At the Amelie.
Well, good thing tomorrow's Saturday.
Hi, it's Elmo. It's been a long time since I've been on the Shannon Burke Show. I want to see Shannon. I pound that muffin. Whoa!
Up in Connecticut, I felt that tremor.
Wow.
It wasn't really much of anything. Almost thought Sikorsky was test flying one of their birds over the house again. Happens all the time. But the rumor mill's already saying, I don't know if you guys covered this or not, that the epicenter was in Bedminster, New Jersey, Trump's golf club. How ironic.
That's what you get for messing with
me. DEWs. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
So I'm guessing that the woke leftist activists are going to try to get reparations from these cicadas.
Hey, hey, Shannon. Tell Sam his takes suck.
He left like 9 others, but he knows the rules. He's a bit of a rambler.
Would the rat grab some shampoo? Couple squirts, shut the lid, put your foot on it, flush.
Going to.
Yeah.
Also, he's going to have the most beautiful flowing Fabio locks if you keep covering him with shampoo and rinse and repeating.
That's a waste of shampoo, sir.
Shando, after my mom died, we had this thing she used to use to grab things like glasses and stuff.
Yeah, a grabber.
Claw. That's what I call it, a claw. There was a mouse in the house. I reached over, I grabbed that thing. Everybody's running around carrying on. The missus is chasing around with a damn broom screaming. I said, get out of the way. I cornered it, reached down with the claw thing, picked it up, opened the back door, chucked it out, and went back drinking my beer.
That's a real man.
That one guy that peed on the plane. He should know. Just carry a 32-ounce Gatorade bottle with the napkin at the bottom. That way it don't splash so much.
With that toilet mesh, you're going to be provided a little handle. So you lift it up when you have to go poopy-doop.
Okay.
I think I have the answer to the toilet rat problem. It will also cure stopped up toilets from this point forward. We should all install a garbage disposal in the base of our toilets. Push the rat back in and push the button. And if you stop the thing up, just push the button.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a long one. Steak, I'm telling you.
Not the traffic lady, man.
Jody. Her name's Jody.
The toilet mesh comes with a little hook, so you just pull it to the side when you have to.
I don't need to mess with my toilet. Well, I just want to be able to do my business, hit the button, and go.
Hold on, I got to reach in and pull my hook out and get my toilet mesh out of
there. Where's the toilet mesh hook? I haven't seen it.
Jody Stewart is the AI traffic person, I think.
I don't think she's AI.
I get it that some of these callers are better than others, but, you know, maybe people would quit leaving 5 or 10 things in a row if we quit playing some people like 7 times a day, man. Come on.
Hey, guys, you know why your butt crack goes up and down instead of sideways?
No.
Because if you ran down the stairs, your butt would go...
Wildly off topic.
I'm mad at myself.
If that earthquake is indeed centered over Bedminster, he better get to painting that roof blue right away.
Is there a belief that this MEP, is that what it's called? Oh, this energy weapon that allegedly lights fires.
The direct energy weapon.
That has, it's powerless against the color blue, could also start an earthquake?
No, that's the HAARP.
Oh, okay. Then and a blue roof is useless with the HAARP.
No, yeah, HAARP is the one that destroyed Turkey.
Oh, that's right. The HAARP.
My aphrodisiac secret recipe is a shot of whiskey, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of honey, some paprika, and crush up 100 milligram Viagra, and it works every time.
Yeah.
And there's a guy too, real fast. A friend of mine laying in bed, looks up at the ceiling. All of a sudden, two raccoons drop out and land on his bed with him. He grabs his .380, shoots one in the bathroom, the other one in the laundry room, clean up the murder scene, and that was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. Beedo beedo, love you guys, have a great weekend.
Yeah, to pull up.
Except you shot twice in your house and had raccoon blood everywhere.
Yeah, exploded raccoon bodies. Good Lord.
Lots of toilet talk. Growing up, we had a hunting camp. No septic tank, but we had a toilet that had a propane tank connected to it. It had a metal flap at the bottom. So after you got done with your business, shut the metal flap, separate handle, and then fire up the propane. It cooked everything in there. Had an exhaust out the back, everything. Smelled horrible, but it worked.
Ugh. Where was that? At a cabin?
At a hunting camp, yeah.
I've seen a video of that, of a tank with the flap, and the flap opens, and it's like doo-doo flame crazy coming out of there.
Yeah. It's really tough to do when you're drunk, though.
Yeah.
You don't remember. You got to make sure you're not hitting the doo-doo flap and hitting the propane button.
What's worse, toilet rat or a third-degree burn on your ass? All right, those are all the remarks for this week. Thank you for leaving them. We'll take our last break and come back here and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Well, look, you may have office ass. That is a horrible condition. Even experts say not having an active life outside of work, not exercising your glutes enough, a poor diet, sitting on your ass all day. Even the best of asses can just suffer and go flat if you work in an office situation. And this doctor advises that since the big, boundable butt is so idolized in our culture, this could lead to anxiety for those that aren't blessed with, with that big bootay.
How long until they start adding that into, like, your in-health insurance?
Like, I got dad butt.
You got office ass, so we're going to go ahead and get you the plumper.
The most dangerous condition, they say, could lead to a dead butt syndrome where your glutes essentially forget their main purpose and position to support your pelvis and keep your body in a proper alignment. But there is a cure. You can build up your old ass, but you're going to have to work at it. Keep your body fat low. Stay active. Do squats, side planks, and lunges. That will help strengthen the glutes and get it. You don't want dead butt syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Down with office ass.
I'm against it. Is this an example of office ass?
I mean, that's not a.
I don't think it's a bad ass at all.
No, it's not terrible.
It's just not a big bountiful.
No, yeah.
I do like they notice that a big and bountiful butt is idolized in our culture. What does that mean about our culture?
Well, blame Sir Mix-a-Lot.
You think so? He likes big butts and he get online?
Yeah, he told us that. He couldn't lie about it. So.
And we've heaped so much anxiety on women who aren't blessed with a Kim Kardashian ass. That's it for us this week. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
We'll have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for leaving your remarks. We're back 2 Eastern, 1 Central on Monday. Bubba the Love Sponge starts the network in the morning with anger and sarcasm. Don Miller after that, a guaranteed laugh. And we'll see you after that on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. Have a great weekend.